It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. We begin with the latest from Afghanistan, where the situation continues to be just awful. We now have tape of toddlers being pulled over the airport wall by American forces because people are so desperate to get their kids out of Afghanistan ahead of the Taliban that they are handing their own children, like small babies, over to the American military. Here's what that tape looks like. It's just a disaster area. Meanwhile, video has been taken outside the airport, apparently showing people basically being crowded into a ditch by the Taliban. These are supposed to be people who are waiting to enter the airport. Again, this is not an organized withdrawal, shall we say. And of course, you can hear the gunshots, so things are going beautifully right outside the airport. Sounds great. Meanwhile, the Taliban spent the day yesterday celebrating because, after all, it was the anniversary of the independence of Afghanistan. According to the New York Times, Kabul was many things on Thursday. The chaos at the airport was matched by calm in other pockets of the city. Some businesses resumed work. Many people were trying to get on with their lives. Others were in hiding, afraid for theirs. Women were scarce. There were some signs of Taliban restraint, but also clear evidence its members patrolling the streets were not afraid to wield force. In fact, there is a story from CNN.com about a photographer who was basically got the hell beat out of him by the Taliban. And then when they realized he was a reporter, they started trying to take selfies with him. So everything is well organized over there. The president of the United States is supposed to address the nation on Friday, apparently. As the United States tries to ramp up its troubled evacuation in Afghanistan, Biden is expected today to address the furor over the sluggish process, stymied by mayhem in Kabul and delays in Washington that threatens to strand thousands of Afghans desperate to flee the Taliban takeover. He's defended the pullout from Afghanistan while promising not to abandon the Afghans who risked their lives. He's walked back that promise pretty clearly, as we'll see in just one moment. The United States has rushed troops and diplomatic reinforcements to Kabul in recent days to speed up visa processing for Afghans. American commanders are negotiating daily with their Taliban counterparts to ensure the evacuees can reach the airport because we are pathetic. Okay, we're begging the Taliban. Negotiating with the Taliban, we mean begging the Taliban. The British and the French have been sending out military patrols to go pick up their citizens and bring them to the airport. The United States, however, is hunkered down behind the walls of Kabul airport, fearful that if the United States walks out, the Taliban will attack them, and then Joe Biden will have to overturn his promise to get all the troops out by August 31st and insert more troops into Kabul, turning a disaster area into a full-scale conflagration, all because the man is a moron. Thousands are waiting fearfully outside the airport gates, according to the New York Times, where Taliban soldiers have attacked people with sticks and rifle butts. As Afghans clutching travel documents camped outside amid Taliban checkpoints and tangles of concertina wire, anxious crowds were being pressed up against blast walls, with women and children being hoisted into the arms of U.S. soldiers on the other side. The Taliban's unpredictability and history of brutality have set off a rush to escape, especially among Afghans who worked alongside U.S. and NATO forces. That, of course, is no surprise, given the fact that so many people are going to be left there and murdered. I mean, the Taliban are apparently going door to door, according to Daily Wire. The Taliban are intensifying their search for Afghans who helped the United States and have a list of people they intend to, quote unquote, question and punish, which is code for murder, according to a Thursday report from the New York Times based on a document prepared by the United Nations. The development seems to complicate assurances from the Biden administration that the Taliban are somewhat reformed from their previous iteration. Biden seemed to hint at a changing interpretation of the Taliban's newfound commitment to freedom in his recent interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Meanwhile, The Taliban are also going door-to-door seeking for Christians. They are searching through phones for Bible apps to make sure that there are no Christians in country. According to the Daily Wire, Afghan Christians are reportedly fleeing to the mountains in a desperate attempt to escape the Taliban, who are going door-to-door trying to kill them. Things are going great, in other words. An underground church that partners with Frontier Alliance International has reported that the Taliban are targeting Christians for death. According to FAI, the Taliban has a hit list of known Christians they are targeting to pursue and kill. The U.S. embassy is defunct. There's no longer a safe place for believers to take refuge. All borders to neighboring countries are closed. All flights to and from have been halted, with the exception of private planes. People are fleeing into the mountains looking for asylum. They are fully reliant on God, who's the only one who can and will protect them. The Taliban are going door-to-door taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old, so the Taliban can take them. If they find a young girl and the house was not marked, they will execute the entire family. If a married woman 25 years or older has been found, the Taliban promptly kill her husband, do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. This is according to, again, the Frontier Alliance International, a Christian NGO. Meanwhile, U.S. allied Afghan forces are completely in hiding, according to the New York Times. Thousands of Afghan security force members managed to make it to other countries over the past few weeks as the Taliban advanced. Others managed to negotiate surrender and went back to their homes. Some kept their weapons and joined the Taliban. They were all part of the sudden atomization of the national security forces. The United States and its allies spent tens of billions of dollars to arm, train, and stand against the Taliban. Tens of thousands of other Afghan grunts, commandos, and spies who fought to the end despite the talk in Washington that the Afghan forces simply gave up have been left behind. They're now on the run, hiding and hunted by the Taliban. There's no way out, said Fareed, an Afghan commando, in a text message to an American soldier who fought with him. Fareed, who agreed to be identified by first name only, said he was hiding in the mountains of eastern Afghanistan, trapped after the regular army units surrendered around him. I am praying to be saved, he said. Militants are threatening to arrest or punish family members if they can't find the people they are looking for, according to former Afghan officials. Most spoke on condition of anonymity to protect friends and loved ones still hiding. In Afghanistan, the Taliban is combing through records of the Ministry of Defense and Interior and the headquarters of Afghanistan's spy service, drawing up lists of operatives to search for. There are more and more reports militants are exacting swift and fatal revenge when they are found, which, of course, is not exactly a shock. So things are going beautifully. In a second, we'll get to the latest on the evacuation efforts, which are a complete bleep show. First, let's be real about this. You need a mattress that is made for you, right? Everything else in your life is personalized. You go to the coffee shop, they personalize your coffee. Why not the thing you're spending hours at night on? Your mattress. Helix Sleep can make this magic happen for you. They have for me. Helix Sleep built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, if you sleep really hot, with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste, like me. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They'll match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I've got a Helix mattress. You don't need to take my word for it. Helix was rated best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Everything is made right here in the United States. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't love it, they'll pick it up right for you, no problem. So really, you have nothing to worry about here. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Again, that's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for a mattress made just for you and up to $200 off it. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, so, meanwhile, the United States' plan to get people out continues to be not much. According to Jackie Heinrich, who is writing for Fox News, she's the White House correspondent, she says that sources have told her the State Department is looking for non-military ways to stage and move Americans and others in Kabul as an alternative to military forces being deployed into Kabul for rescues. So I guess we're going to, you know, just send randos into Kabul to try and bring Americans through the gauntlet that has now been created by the Taliban around the Kabul airport. The State Department did not dispute this information. They said, quote, our first priority is the safety and security of the American people. We will continue to uphold that commitment. Oh, will you? The State Department, above all of the other departments, is the one to blame. The State Department is a disaster area. Meanwhile, John Kirby over at the Pentagon, he's the spokesperson, he was asked, you know, you keep saying that we're trying to get our people out, and yet we have not deployed any military patrols to go pick up Americans who are stranded in Kabul. Why is it that the Brits and the French can do it, but we cannot?
If the British can take their paratroopers and they can get in vehicles and go get their people and get them to the airport, yeah, why can't the U.S. do that? If there is a deal with the Taliban to provide safe passage, why is it left to the Americans outside of that ring to get there on their own? Why can't we send vehicles to go get them?
We have not seen any great impediments to the safe passage that the Taliban have agreed to facilitate. Americans are getting through those checkpoints, and they are getting onto the base on the airfield, and they are being flown out of Kabul.
Okay, that is not exactly what we are hearing from on the ground, where we are hearing that many Afghanistan, that many, certainly the Afghans are stuck in Kabul, but many Americans are not willing to run the gauntlet because they're afraid of walking outside their front door. I mean, and the Taliban's mercy lasts as long as the Taliban's mercy lasts. I mean, let's face what's going on here. The reality is when we say we're negotiating with the Taliban, what we mean by that is we're bribing them. This is going to come out over the next 6 months, I promise you, that the United States is sending pallets of cash to the world's worst human beings because Joe Biden couldn't keep it in his pants when it came to withdrawing from Afghanistan. I mean, that really is what's going on here. According to Defense One, evacuation operations at Hamid Karzai International Airport are starting to normalize, but with the stark reality that U.S. movements, including any troop extension past August 31st, now must be negotiated with the Taliban, the Pentagon acknowledged on Thursday. John Kirby said, quote, I think it's a fundamental fact of reality of where we are, that communications and a certain measure of agreement with the Taliban on what we're trying to accomplish has to occur. About 7,000 people, a mix of Americans, Afghans, and other foreign nationals, have left Kabul on U.S. military aircraft since non-combatant evacuation operations began last week. The U.S. has flown about 12,000 people out of Afghanistan since July. However, we've still got thousands and thousands of Americans who are still stuck in Kabul and tens of thousands of Afghan allies who are stuck in Kabul. At a State Department press conference Thursday, spokesman Ned Price acknowledged processing has been slow but was improving. He says there are 6,000 people at the airport right now who have been fully processed by our consular team and will soon board planes. In the meantime, however, there are planes that are leaving literally half empty. 20 planes were expected to depart overnight on Thursday. State will double the number of consular officers on the ground by Friday, says Ned Price. We'll have the capacity we need to process as many individuals as we can fill the flights. The evacuation has more of a rhythm in the last 24 hours, he said. For example, U.S. troops have opened and manned more gates at the airport, allowing faster processes of evacuees. And the crowds that swarmed the tarmacs have been pushed out, but there are currently more airplane seats than there are passengers, which means that the processing is not going all that well. The U.S. would like to move between 5 and 9,000 people per day. Over the last 24 hours, they flew out 2,000, said Taylor. There are at least 15,000 Americans still in Kabul, and more than 70,000 Afghans who worked with the U.S. government and their families. All of those people are going to be stopped, by the way. Even U.S. citizens may hesitate to move from their homes, according to Defense One. The U.S. government said Wednesday it cannot guarantee their safe passage. Price said, every report of someone unable, for whatever reason, to reach the airport is something we take seriously. We're doing everything we can, mechanically, logistically, but then, of course, there's also the diplomatic element of this as well. So, in other words, no, Americans are still stuck there. And this process is not, in fact, going particularly smoothly. Meanwhile, there was this debacle over the last 24 hours where the United States State Department apparently was selling flights. I'm not kidding you. They were selling flights for essentially $2,000. According to Politico, even though U.S. officials tell NatSec Daily and others that evacuation flights from Kabul will be free, people trying to catch a plane in the Afghan capital say differently. One person said State Department staff were seeking large payments up to $2,000 from American passengers, and even more from non-U.S. citizens. When we relayed what this person told us to the State Department, a spokesperson didn't deny this is happening. The spokesperson said, U.S. law requires evacuation assistance to private U.S. citizens or third country nationals be provided on a reimbursable basis to the maximum extent practicable. The situation is extremely fluid. We're working to overcome obstacles as they rise. So now they're trying to walk this back. They're saying, no, now we're going to make the flights free. But it took the press discovering that they were trying to charge people trying to escape Afghanistan $2,000 in order to leave for that to become an issue. Alrighty, coming up, the Afghanistan pullout has some pretty significant international ramifications, and it really does undercut our ability to fight terrorism in Afghanistan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Mojo would swallow things whole. A chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappear.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
the IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Tracy Morgan for the American Rescue Plan.
People often look at me and think I'm a fireman. So when they came to me and said, Chief, tell them about the American Rescue Plan. I jumped down a fire pole
and I got to work.
Ma'am, do you have any kids at home?
Oh, yes, I do, handsome fireman.
Let's keep this professional. But what if I could put out some of your financial fires? Up to $300 per month per child, it could rescue you.
Claim your money at MyRescuePlan.org. That's MyRescuePlan.org.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So what is happening in Afghanistan has pretty significant external consequences. All right, so this all has international implications as well. Apparently, the United States asked, we're not at the point where we're just asking our enemies for help, and they're all like, ha, 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 ha. Here's the latest on that. According to the Wall Street Journal, Russian President Vladimir Putin, during a June 16th summit meeting with President Biden, objected to any role for American forces in Central Asian countries at all, senior U.S. and Russian officials said, undercutting the U.S. military's efforts to act against new terrorist dangers after its Afghanistan withdrawal. Remember, Joe Biden said that we would still be able to carry out the over-the-horizon missions we needed to. We'd have air bases. We'd be able to still monitor terrorist traffic in Afghanistan. No, we won't. I mean, end of story. No, we don't have any resources on the ground. We have no bases in country, and we have no bases anywhere nearby. Pakistan cut a deal with the Taliban to kick us out, and Russia is denying us the ability to build any bases or have a base anywhere nearby. The previously unreported exchange between the U.S. and Russian leaders has complicated the U.S. military's options for basing drones and other counterterrorism forces in countries bordering landlocked Afghanistan. That challenge has deepened with the collapse over the weekend of the Afghan government and armed forces. The exchange also indicates Moscow is more determined to try to maintain Central Asia as a sphere of influence than to expand cooperation with the new American president over the turmoil in Afghanistan, former and current U.S. officials said. No bleep. There's a shock. You mean the Russians aren't interested in helping us? Who could have foreseen this cataclysmic event? Who could have foreseen that the Russians and the Chinese and the Taliban might not be all that helpful to us in fighting terrorism? Without access to Central Asian nations like Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, or Tajikistan, the U.S. would need to rely on bases in Qatar, other Arab Gulf states, and U.S. Navy aircraft carriers in the Indian Ocean to fly aircraft to Afghanistan. Flight times from the Gulf states are so long, a U.S. drone might spend more than 60% of its mission flying to and from Afghanistan from a U.S. base in Qatar. That would limit the time for conducting reconnaissance or carrying out strikes over the country because the drones basically run out of fuel. So this is all going really, really, really well. The good news is that Joe Biden is enamored with it. He was told in advance by pretty much everyone that this was the world's worst decision. He was told by his DOD that he needed to leave some skeletal troops there, at least until the evacuation was complete. He was told by his State Department this was a mistake. He was told by everyone this was a bad idea. But bad ideas have never stopped Joe Biden before. That's kind of amusing. When Donald Trump was president, there was all this talk about how, you know, Trump isn't really running his administration. The people around him are running his administration. And in reality, many of the people around Trump were constant checks on his bad ideas. Right? Very often, Trump would have a bad idea, militarily speaking. Like, what if we precipitously pulled out from Syria? And James Mattis would step in and go, you know, Mr. President, you can't do that. It's a bad idea. And Trump would go, okay, fine. And then he would listen. Joe Biden listens to no one. And so his advisors have just gone along with the worst foreign policy decision in my lifetime. They just went right along with it and enabled it. After advising him, it was a terrible idea. There was no internal bucking. There were no leaks to the press. There was no talk in advance about how this was going to go. They just went along with it. They let the addled old man figure out what the policy would be. A policy that he had locked in from 2010 and on, even though the war in Afghanistan has radically shifted since 2010, given the fact that we radically downscaled our troop commitment in Afghanistan post-2014. The United States has not had more than 12,000, 13,000 troops in the country at any time since 2014. And at the time that we left, we had 2,500 troops officially in country to provide, again, a base from which to fight terrorism. But Joe Biden, at least, he has sort of these moments of refreshing honesty because every so often it breaks through. And Joe Biden did this interview with George Stephanopoulos in which he freely admits that whether, like, he first tried to blame this on Trump, you'll recall. Remember, he said this is, oh, Trump had cut this really bad deal in Doha, Qatar with the Taliban, and we had to abide by that deal. And now Joe Biden's like, yeah, whether or not that deal was made, I was going to do it, which is the actual truth.
Would you have withdrawn troops like this even if President Trump had not made that deal with the Taliban?
I would have tried to figure out how to withdraw those troops, yes. Because look, George, there is no good time to leave Afghanistan. 15 years ago would have been a problem. 15 years from now. The basic choice is, am I going to send your sons and your daughters to war in Afghanistan in perpetuity?
Okay, so when he says there's no good time to leave Afghanistan, the answer to that is right, which is probably why we should have left some skeleton troops there at a minimum. But he was committed to this. He's committed to this. By the way, there's news breaking this morning that the situation in Afghanistan is getting worse. According to Sasha Ingberg, who's a national security reporter for Newsy, previously at NPR and National Geographic, a source says situation in Afghanistan is rapidly deteriorating. We've had Americans get beaten throughout the night. One of them, an American woman, was beaten twice, even though she was carrying a U.S. passport. There are reports of sheer chaos breaking out again in Afghanistan. For all the talk about how this thing is starting to lock down, it continues to be chaos at the airport in Afghanistan. It's a disaster area. And yes, Joe Biden was warned about this. Yes, Joe Biden was warned about it. Of course he was. Now, Joe Biden lied about that. Right? He went on Stephanopoulos and in the course of about 30 seconds said he wasn't warned about it and then realized that that was going to be outed as a lie. And then he went to the I don't recall defense, right? The I don't recall defense in politics is what you do. It's the lawyerly way of avoiding any sort of actual blame. Here's Joe Biden going from I was never told to I don't recall in the space of about 30 seconds.
Your top military advisors warned against withdrawing on this timeline. They wanted you to keep about 2,500 troops.
No, they didn't. It was split. That wasn't true. That wasn't true.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No one said that to me that I can recall.
No, okay, and you can tell he's lying right there. Right? He realizes he's trapped himself and that he's lying. In fact, we know for a fact that he was informed by many of his advisors that this was a terrible idea. This has been widely reported. In fact, back in April, Jen Psaki confirmed that some advisors were telling Biden to leave troops. Right, this is publicly.
Can you explain the rationale for why President Biden went against the advice of military commanders who recommended leaving 2,500 troops on the ground in Afghanistan?
Well, I think that's an overcharacterization of every military leader, and I don't think they've all provided their point of view. No military commander wants to stay forever. They insist that this is not, some insist this is not in time, the time to leave, some opponents of his decision.
We now have reports from the Wall Street Journal, from the New York Times, from pretty much every major media publication saying that Joe Biden was told by everyone, up to and including, by the way, Lloyd Austin, his Secretary of Defense, as well as the wonderful Mark Milley, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was told by everyone this was a bad idea. And he went ahead and he did it anyway. Because he's a stubborn old coot, And he has decided that his bad foreign policy ideas need to be, as Barack Obama once said about Joe Biden, don't underestimate Joe's ability to screw things up. Alrighty, coming up, we have heard from the Biden administration. They didn't know that Kabul was going to fall. It couldn't have gone. Well, actually, we now have a report that the State Department knew. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM. Good.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is pretty clear at this point that the Biden administration is lying to you. The big story of the day, aside from the fact that the situation in Afghanistan continues to be just an utter, complete disaster area, Richard Engel reporting this morning, quote, what was supposed to be an organized evacuation of foreigners and Afghans who worked with U.S. NATO is rapidly becoming a chaotic humanitarian airlift. And just complete chaos breaking out over there. There's an internal State Department cable that warned that Kabul would collapse in July. According to the Wall Street Journal, an internal State Department memo last month warned top agency officials of the potential collapse of Kabul soon after the U.S.'s August 31st troop withdrawal deadline in Afghanistan, according to a U.S. official and a person familiar with the document. The classified cable represents the clearest evidence yet that the administration had been warned by its own officials on the ground that the Taliban's advance was imminent and Afghanistan's military may be unable to stop it. The cable was sent via the State Department's confidential dissent channel and warned of rapid territorial gains by the Taliban and the subsequent collapse of Afghan security forces and offered recommendations on ways to mitigate the crisis and speed up evacuation. The cable was dated July 13th. July 13th. Now, the reason I mentioned the significance of that date is because 5 days earlier, Joe Biden had gone on national television and assured the American people the Taliban would not take over the country and this would not look like Saigon. 5 days earlier. As of last weekend, some 18,000 Afghans who applied for the U.S.'s special immigrant visa program, as well as their families, remained on the ground in Afghanistan. In all, 23 U.S. Embassy staffers, all Americans, signed the July 13th cable. The U.S. official said there was a rush to deliver it, given circumstances on the ground. The cable was sent to our wonderful Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and the Director of Policy Planning, Salman Ahmed. Blinken received the cable and reviewed it, according to people familiar with the exchange, who added that contingency planning was already underway when it was received, and that Blinken welcomed their feedback. State Department spokesman Ned Price declined to address the cable, but told the Wall Street Journal, Blinken reads every dissent and reviews every reply. The existence of the confidential State Department cable adds to an expanding debate involving the White House, Pentagon, and intelligence services over what U.S. officials understood about assessments of Afghanistan's stability. Again, it is very clear at this point that Biden was warned 8 ways from Sunday. It is very obvious to anyone who is watching that this was a disaster area unfolding. And Biden couldn't care less. He couldn't care less. It is incredible how this giant glowing sun of empathy, President Biden has no empathy whatsoever for what's going on the ground over in Afghanistan, for the Americans who are stuck there, for the Afghans who are stuck there, for anybody. Because he wanted to do the things that he wanted to do, and his umbrage begins when you start asking him tough questions. This has been true, by the way, throughout his career. There was always this picture of Biden that he was a wonderful, warm guy. Anytime he was asked a tough question by literally anyone throughout his campaign, he turned into the look fat guy. You remember that? There was a guy, a Bernie Sanders supporter, who asked him a tough question, and he started insulting him as fat. I mean, that's who Joe Biden is. So in this interview with George Stephanopoulos, he was just fully delusional and in umbrage mode. So at one point, by the way, he said, we don't have any troops in Syria, which is weird since we have 900 troops in Syria. But I mean, the man can be forgiven that since he doesn't remember what he had for breakfast this morning. But more than that, he then did this. This is an amazing clip. Joe Biden told George Stephanopoulos, nobody's being killed at the Kabul airport right now. He said everything's fine over there.
Still a lot of pandemonium outside the airport.
Well, there is. But look, but no one's being killed right now. God forgive me if I'm wrong about that. But no one's being killed right now.
No one's being killed. And then he knocks on wood. He knocks on wood. You're the president of the United States. He's knocking on wood that no one's been. You know what could ensure that no one gets killed over there? If you hadn't abandoned the country without any plan whatsoever. That would ensure that nobody got killed. Or if you said to the Taliban, listen, you let all of our guys in, or American air power is going to start going after you. Now, it may be all fun and games for the moment, but just remember, we still have the most powerful air force on planet Earth. So you let all of our people through right now, or the bombs start falling on the heads of your soldiers. But he's not doing any of that. And by the way, he's wrong. When he says that people aren't being killed at knock on wood, here is CNN yesterday.
Since the Taliban seized Kabul on Sunday, 12 people have been killed. That according to the Reuters news agency. Taliban fighters toting machine guns and a soundtrack of gunfire are fueling this unease and anxiety among Afghans. Look here, a CNN photographer capturing these images. Huddled masses outside Kabul airport's east gate. Rows and rows of men, women, and children clustered together, waiting on a way out that for some may never materialize.
And by the way, a lot of people are pointing out people who don't want to take in some of these Afghan refugees. Again, if you're a translator with the American Armed Services and you have American soldiers who are vouching for you, it seems to me that your case to be brought into the United States as a refugee is pretty good. But in any case, if you're talking about this, a lot of people have been saying, look at how many men there are in these photos. Right, because those are the ones who worked as the translators. There weren't a lot of women who were working as translators for the American Armed Services in Afghanistan. In any case, Biden's just lying when he says nobody's been killed. No, people fell from airplanes, dude, on tape. But remember, Captain Empathy over here, he's never been empathetic toward this sort of stuff. I mean, if you go all the way back, like to the actual fall of Saigon, you remember that Joe Biden actually said by the actual fall of Saigon that the United States had no obligation to evacuate a single member of South Vietnam, like not a single person. Right? We had abandoned them to their fate. Hundreds of thousands of people got into boats to float off the coast of Vietnam to escape the onrushing communist hordes. And Joe Biden said this, quote, I do not believe the United States has an obligation, moral or otherwise, to evacuate foreign nationals, other than perhaps an estimated 1,800 diplomatic personnel assigned to foreign embassies in Saigon. The United States has no obligation to evacuate one or 100,001 South Vietnamese. As I read the language of the bill, the evacuation of Americans in South Vietnam conceivably could be endangered because of the provisions also permitting the evacuation of untold numbers of foreign nationals. This goes back 40 years for this jackass. I mean, it's amazing. It goes back almost half a century. Joe Biden's complete lack of care about people who are being victimized by the regimes that Democrats have empowered. It's pretty incredible. Meanwhile, by the way, forget about the Afghan nationals for a second. The Americans are still stuck there. Now, the State Department's been trying to downplay that. Here was Ned Price yesterday saying that the Americans being blocked from the airport, they're a small number. It's just congestion. It's not chaos. This is contrary to every report we were receiving from on the ground.
We have a relatively large cadre of consular officers on the ground in Kabul right now. They are in regular and constant contact with American citizens. I can tell you that they have received, as of a couple hours ago, a small handful of reports from American citizens who weren't able to reach the airport for whatever reason. We've seen the reports of congestion. My understanding is that things are moving quite efficiently at this hour at the airport now.
Oh, really? Things are moving well now? Clarissa Ward, reporting for CNN, says, quote, this is one of the most harrowing things I've experienced. What is she talking about? The scene at the Kabul airport. According to the Washington Post, a chaotic and dangerous dynamic at Kabul's airport showed few signs of relenting Thursday as thousands of people attempting to board flights faced beatings by Taliban guards, the crush of heaving crowds, and interminable spells in the dust and heat while waiting to escape Afghanistan. Several people said Thursday they'd received confusing signals from the U.S. about how exactly they were supposed to leave, citing emails from the State Department urging them to go to the airport, only to find there was no one to receive them or to answer their questions on how to board flights. We arrived at 6 a.m., said a 39-year-old librarian, a dual U.S.-Afghan citizen who came with his wife and two kids after receiving an email invitation from the State Department. From 6 a.m. until 6 p.m., the gate did not open. There is no person to address our concerns. And now, we are learning that the Taliban is targeting journalists who report on the chaos. The German broadcaster Deutsche Welle said a close relative of one of its journalists had been murdered by Taliban fighters. The relative was shot as militants went house to house searching for the journalist in western Afghanistan, according to the news organization. And, Clarissa Ward and her crew are now inside the airport. But she's saying that, again, inside the airport, it is not a lot better than it is outside the airport. The Pentagon spokesperson, by the way, Ned Price, he can't even say how many Americans are even in Afghanistan at this point.
How many American citizens remain in Afghanistan?
I don't know. The State Department would be a better place to go for an estimate of how many Americans are in Afghanistan or in and around Kabul. That is not a figure that the United States military would know. And I think, as you also know, not every American citizen in another country, there's no obligation that they register their presence and that you can have a perfect, accurate count.
Okay, in order to make anybody believe that the Biden administration has any level of control, the Biden administration has now been put in the position of becoming the PR wing for the Taliban. This is not a surprise. You saw that the Obama administration did the exact same thing with Iran. Obama came into office wanting Iran to be established as a sort of regional power for no reason at all. Because, again, he had perverse foreign policy ideas that made no sense in the real world. And so what this meant is he wanted to cut a deal with the Taliban, with the Iranians. So he lied to the American people. And so did Ben Rhodes, his national security advisor. They just lied. They went out there and they said that there was a moderate wing of the Iranians, and we were emboldening the moderate wing of the Iranian government. And then we spent years defending the Iranian government. Oh, really, they're moderate. Oh, really, they're moderating. Oh, really, they're getting better. Oh, you know, they're really not so bad. Is there anything really to worry about? I mean, they're going to get better, guys. I mean, they want to be legitimate players on the world stage. We became the PR wing for the Iranian mullahs, even as they fostered terrorism around the region, even as they murdered tens of thousands of people in places like Syria and Lebanon and Yemen, even as they funded Hamas, right? It was the United States and Barack Obama's administration who are soft-pedaling the evils of the Iranian regime. Now we're doing the exact same thing with the Taliban. Because you see, in order to make Americans believe everything is going to be okay in Afghanistan, we have to believe that the Taliban are a different sort of Taliban. Maybe they're changing their stripes. You know, no guarantees, but maybe they're going to be better this time around. Now, is there any evidence whatsoever, like at all, that they're better this time around? They're literally just shooting people. They're going around and hunting journalists. They pledged the same thing in 96 when they first took over Afghanistan that they have now, which is pardon for everybody. And then by pardon, they mean you will be dead. I mean, that's basically what they mean. But you've now turned the White House of the United States into a PR wing for the worst people on earth, the same way that Obama did with the Iranians. So here, for example, is the president of the United States, Joe Biden, saying, you know, the Taliban, they're probably going through some sort of existential crisis right now. You know, they have to decide whether they want to be part of the international community. Here's the thing. They've already decided. The answer is no. And they are not going through an existential crisis. The West is going through an existential crisis because the West has no idea what it believes. The West doesn't know what it stands for, aside from the evils of supposed inherent white supremacy embedded in all of our institutions and transgenderism. The West has basically very few principles to which it is certainly committed at this point. We don't know what we stand for. We don't know why we stand for the things we stand for. We are going through an existential crisis. The Taliban are going through a victory dance because a bunch of regressive, barbaric cavemen from the 8th century just defeated the most powerful military in the history of the world. By the way, for the second time, right, because they did this to the Soviets in the 80s. So now they're proclaiming victory on the exact same thing, even though really the two instances shouldn't be comparable. The United States was holding the line in Afghanistan with 2,500 troops. The difference is the Taliban have a 1,000-year time horizon, and we have about a 20-year time horizon in the United States. We get bored after 20 years, and we're like, oh, well, this is an endless war. You know what an endless war means to the Taliban? You know what an endless war means to the people in Afghanistan? Afghanistan has essentially been in a state of war since at least 1979. So an endless war to them does not look like an endless war to us, and so they can declare victory after having their asses kicked all over the map for 20 years because they outlasted us. Okay, but in any case, Joe Biden has now become the PR wing for the Taliban. This is what he has to do now.
I think they're going through sort of an existential crisis about, do they want to be recognized by the international community as being a legitimate government? I'm not sure they do. But look, they have...
They care about their beliefs more.
Well, they do. But they also care about whether they have food to eat, whether they have an income that can make any money and run an economy. They care about whether or not they can hold together the society that they, in fact, say they care so much about.
What an absolute joke. The president of the United States. There he is. They want legitimacy. And the same way the Hamas wants legitimacy, guys. It's all these terrorist groups. They just want legitimacy. The president of the United States is now running cover for the Taliban. That's the only thing you can take away from that clip. I'm not sure that they want legitimacy. But, you know, they do want to make sure that they can run the economy. They want to make sure. I mean, wouldn't they want to be welcomed into the family of nations? By the way, it's this exact same sort of arrogance that led to a lot of the nation-building project in the first place. They're just like us, guys. They want to make sure that their country still runs. They have the same priorities we do. John Kirby at the Pentagon was specifically asked whether the Biden administration considers the Taliban an enemy. Now, this should have a pretty obvious answer. The answer is yes. The Taliban are the worst people on the planet. The Taliban are responsible for thousands of American deaths. The Taliban are going around murdering our allies. Yes, they are our enemy. They've continued to be our enemy. But because Joe Biden just surrendered to them, he now has to say that it's not a surrender by pretending they're not our enemy. So that's what John Kirby does here. He just avoids the question as to whether the Taliban are our enemy.
Does the U.S. military consider the Taliban an enemy?
Where our focus right now, the thing we're working against right now is time and space, and we want to get as many people out of Kabul as we can in as little amount of time as we can.
That is called a not answer at all. The question was, are the Taliban our enemy? And the answer was, we're trying to get Americans out. So I guess we're the PR wing for the Taliban now. That's exciting. In a second, we'll get to what Joe Biden's calculus here is, because it's pretty obvious what his calculus is, why he's doing all of this and what his angle here is. Because you look at this and I look at this and we say this is the worst foreign policy disaster of the last 40 years, at least since the fall of Iran in 79. I'm hard pressed to think of a worse foreign policy. The end of Vietnam was not even as much of a foreign policy disaster as this is. But Joe Biden has a plan. We'll get to the actual plan in 1 second. First, let's be real about this. You're an adult. You need life insurance. It is that simple. Let's say that you are walking down the street and suddenly a brick just falls from the 15th story and clocks you directly on the head. Well, you're gone, but your family is going to be missing both you and your stream of income. This is why you need life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. Eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week, thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam for a simple phone call. The exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Get started really quickly and easily today. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get started. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice and quite important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, what exactly is Joe Biden's strategy here, considering what a disaster this is? He just thinks you're going to forget about it, the same way that he forgets about things all the time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Our chest's coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is apparently of the opinion that you are just going to forget about everything going on in the world. According to Reuters, Biden basically thinks he's going to wait it out. Reuters says President Joe Biden is brushing off criticism of his administration's chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal because he and his aides believe the political fallout at home will be limited, according to White House allies and administration officials. That, of course, is not a giant shock, considering that he said 10 years ago that with regard to whether there would be consequences for withdrawal, Nixon and Kissinger got away with it, which is an amazing thing considering that neither Nixon nor Kissinger were actually responsible for the Vietnam withdrawal. But Gerald Ford was president at the time. Nixon had been gone for a while, and it was the Democratic Congress that actually caused the Vietnam withdrawal in the first place. But the idea here is that he's just going to be able to outlive this. Joe Biden will just outlive this, right? We'll all forget about it. We'll all move on. I am not nearly so sanguine, particularly since it seems like this administration is still trying to figure out whether or not they're going to leave people behind. Breonna Keeler over at CNN, she actually asked directly the White House communications director. This would be Kate Bedingfield. She asked her directly, are you prepared to leave people behind in Afghanistan? And Kate Bedingfield said, we're doing everything we can to get as many people out who want to get out before the August 31st deadline. Who set that deadline? Like that's the Taliban setting that deadline, right? I have a feeling that if you leave a bunch of Americans there, Kate and Joe, I have a feeling that people are going to be kind of pissed if you leave thousands of Americans in Kabul because you're so stupid that you left them in the hands of the Taliban. Meanwhile, the British and the French somehow are sending their paratroopers in to get people out. I have a feeling Americans might not take particularly kindly to all of that. One of the things that has fascinated me about the situation in Afghanistan right now is the media coverage thereof. Because the media coverage has been really good, like really accurate, quite good, hypercritical of President Biden, everywhere from like the European press to the American press. And it got me wondering why. Why are the media, and this is literally the first time in my lifetime, that a Democrat has done something egregious and the media have been all over it. The media never do this. This is the first time I've ever seen, I think in my entire adult lifetime, where Democrats do something so egregious that even the media are forced to look at it and go, this is horrifying. And it really is across the spectrum. There are very few media defenders of the Biden administration at this point. CNN's Clarissa Ward has been doing excellent work on the ground at CNN. She, of course, is incredibly brave. She's been on the ground in Kabul dealing with all of this. And she is leading the charge here.
The lack of clear information. The rumor mill is in overdrive. There's hysteria. You have Taliban fighters with whips, with guns. You have U.S. and U.K. soldiers who are not allowing people in. You have mixed messaging coming through about what kind of paperwork you need and how you can get on a flight and where you can go. I mean, it is just an absolute mess. And we heard President Biden say yesterday in his comments to ABC News that this is not a failure. And I think a lot of people outside that airport, particularly those taking the kinds of extreme actions we're just talking about, would like to know, if this isn't failure, what does failure look like exactly?
Okay, and you're hearing the same thing from Jake Tapper over at CNN. You're hearing the same thing from MSNBC's Kelly O'Donnell, who says Biden is pretty obviously ducking the press at this point, which he pretty clearly is.
Does the White House have a good explanation? So if the president now says chaos was inevitable, then are they acknowledging that he misled us? So was that mislead a month ago on purpose because they didn't want to offend the Afghan government?
Well, they're not acknowledging that discrepancy yet. We've had no opportunity, no briefing, no ability to get a real sense of that. What they are saying is that they had planned for and expected that there could be a fall, but the timing has been what they've been focused on, that it wouldn't be as precipitous as we have seen happen.
Okay, everybody acknowledging this is a mess. The New York Times' Jonathan Martin, he says, yeah, it's pretty clear that the Biden administration is lying to us.
You have the president talking about chaos being inevitable. Sure, the chaos was inevitable if you're talking about a Taliban takeover of Kabul, if you're talking about a dangerous situation and just the crumbling of humanitarian and human rights. But it was not expected to be chaos when you're talking about evacuating embassy staff at the very last minute, evacuating and trying to figure out what to do with the Afghan staffers at the very last minute. That was not predicted, and that should have been handled differently.
But he said the opposite the previous month. And right. I think that's the big challenge for him politically, is that he has a paper trail of statements, literally, as Joe Biden would say, saying the opposite than, in fact, what happened. And I think there's no willingness on his part to acknowledge his previous statements here and sort of eat that.
My first time in my adult lifetime that the media are actually covering this stuff accurately. The first time. And, you know, it does raise the question as to why. I think there are a couple of answers. The first answer is that the media actually thought Afghanistan was the good war. Many of them were embedded with American troops. Many of them got to know Afghans on the ground. And now they're realizing that they've been lied to by Joe Biden. And I think they're insulted by that. And they should be insulted by that. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Reports of targeted killings in areas overrun by the Taliban now fueling fears they, when they do return, they'll return Afghanistan to the repressive rule they had imposed when they were last in power.
The reports come even as the Taliban urged imams to push a message of unity at Friday prayers. But Amnesty International says eyewitnesses in Ghazni province have recounted how the Taliban killed 9 ethnic Hazara men in a village in early July, shooting 6 while 3 were tortured to death. Hazaras are Shiite Muslims and have been persecuted by the Taliban in the past. Amnesty warns many more killings may have gone unreported because the Taliban cut cell phone services in many areas they've captured to prevent images from being published. I'm Ben Thomas.
Also at townhall.com, a union representing many train drivers at Germany's national railway operator calling for members to strike once again.
The head of the GDL union says drivers of passenger trains will strike from early Monday morning to Wednesday morning. Freight train drivers will start their strike Saturday afternoon. It's the union's second round of walkouts in a bitter pay dispute with railway operator Deutsche Bahn. The union's demand include a 3.2% salary increase and a one-time coronavirus bonus of $700.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Country music singer-songwriter Tom T. Hall, who composed and sang about life's simple joys, has died. Throughout his career, he had numerous number one songs and countless songs for other performers. His hits included I Love, Country Is, Old Dogs, Children, and Watermelon Wine, and the year Clayton Delaney died. Tom T. Hall was 85. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then, just 3 months later...
Extortion 1-7 requesting permission to take off.
A U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others enter the Tengiz Valley.
That's all flash. You can't flash. Anybody out there, we have a fallen angel. A fallen angel. Roger.
Extortion 1-7, the provocative new film telling the story of the largest loss of life in U.S. Special Forces history. Now playing on SalemNow.com. Questions quickly arise. Why did it take 17 minutes to fly a 10-minute mission? Was there a black box on board?
Every American should be taught about what happened in Extortion 17.
What really happened to SEAL Team 6 that dreadful night? Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7, the story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
Help is on the way for dairy farmers.
For those who got a lower price for their dairy products because of pandemic-related market abnormalities, the Department of Agriculture will provide about $350 million in assistance payments for eligible farmers. Family dairy farmers have been battered by the pandemic, trade issues, and unpredictable weather. USDA says qualified dairy farmers will get payments for 80% of the revenue difference per month based on an annual production of up to 5 million pounds of milk marketed and on fluid milk sales from July through December 2020. John Scott reporting.
World Health Organization issuing a call for experts to join a new group it's forming in part to address the agency's attempts to investigate how the pandemic started. UN Health Agency says the new group would provide the WHO with an independent analysis of the work being done to date. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Hard to believe, but Major League Baseball ending a 70-year relationship with trading card producer Topps.
The move comes after MLB and the Players Union agreed to a new partnership with a rival. The loss of the Major League partnership immediately scuttled a deal announced earlier this year that would have made Topps a publicly traded company. Topps, formed in 1938, is best known for baseball cards, but it also produces products for a number of other pro sports leagues, and it has a confections division.
That is correspondent Rich Thomason reporting. U.S. Forest Service officials warning homeowners who fled a wildfire in northeastern Minnesota. Winds may shift over the weekend, putting their properties in danger. Authorities have given officials the latest about the Greenwood Lake fire and the strategy to stop it. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, Joe Biden's disaster in Afghanistan requires distraction. That distraction will come once more in the case of COVID. Now, here's the thing. It was Joe Biden who promised on July 4th that we were done. And if he had set the metrics properly, we would have been done on July 4th. Meaning, does every adult in America have the ability to get the shot? The answer is yes. So what are we talking about now? Really, what are we talking about? The Democrats set an unrealistic standard with regard to COVID. And the unrealistic standard was zero COVID. They will never acknowledge this, that their goal is actually zero COVID. But that is their goal. And that goal is not realistic because COVID is going to be with us until the end of time. There are hundreds of millions of people who have COVID right now. There are hundreds of millions of people who have already had COVID. We already have a large majority of the adult population of the United States that has had either COVID or the jab at this point. So there's no end point. There's no end point for the Democrats. And so Democrats continue to try and manufacture this idea that they know how to deal with COVID. And the Republicans are obstructing that in the hopes that the American people will blame Republicans for, number one, Joe Biden's failure to set any sort of actual reasonable metrics with regard to COVID. Number two, Democrats' broad-scale desire to lock down and mask people for the end of time. And three, to distract from his gigantic, enormous, historic, world-historic failure in Afghanistan. And so they're going to go right back to the COVID drawing board. So Ron DeSantis has become their target of opportunity. They've hated DeSantis since the beginning of the pandemic because he presides over the oldest state in the country outside of Maine, which, again, has seven people in a moose. DeSantis has performed admirably. I live in Florida. It is a relief to see a politician who actually follows the data and recognizes that mask mandates are completely useless. There is no actual evidence that mask mandates, not masks, mask mandates do anything. When it comes to Delta, it is pretty clear that cloth masks are very ineffective. Okay, this is not me saying this. This is Michael Osterholm, the former Biden advisor, saying this. There's people like Scott Gottlieb pointing out that cloth masks are not particularly effective against Delta because the viral load on Delta is much, much higher than the viral load on the Alpha variant, B.1.1.7. So when Ron DeSantis says there's no evidence that kids should be masked in schools, he is absolutely correct. Now, let's be clear about what Ron DeSantis has done in Florida, by the way. He has not said that kids cannot mask in school. That's not what he said. He has said that local school districts will not receive funding if they ban kids from school for not masking. That is a difference. The media have lied about this. They've said that he's banned masks in schools. That is not correct. If you want to mask your kid in school, you are still capable of doing so. There's no evidence you should. There's no evidence that masking in schools is particularly effective. First of all, kids are not good at wearing masks. Second of all, most of the kids are wearing cloth masks. Third of all, if you want to mask your kid with a N95, I suppose you're free to do so. although there are a lot of studies suggesting that mass masking around kids is not good for their mental development, and that there may be physical consequences to kids breathing in their own carbon dioxide all day. But, putting all of that aside, Ron DeSantis has not handled things poorly. We are seeing upticks in virtually every state in the union. Florida, it looks like, by the way, already has seen its peak in terms of cases and deaths, according to Worldometers. You can see the case numbers are already declining over the last week or so. The death numbers have been declining pretty steeply over the last week or so in Florida, despite the media focusing incessantly on Florida, not Louisiana, which is an actual large-scale rolling disaster, but Florida, because Louisiana has a Democratic governor, Florida does not. But DeSantis was ripping Biden, and the Democrats hope to redirect toward COVID because, again, they don't want anybody talking about Afghanistan. Here is Ron DeSantis slamming Biden.
I think Trump was right to say we needed to come home from Afghanistan. How you do that matters. When you're leaving thousands of Americans to fend for themselves behind enemy lines, that matters. When you're leaving billions of dollars in military equipment for our enemies to just take, that matters. It's going to make that area a disaster. Obviously, Americans are at risk. And Sean, you know who's looking at this? China, Russia, North Korea, all of our adversaries are taking the measure of Joe Biden, and they see that this is not somebody who's capable of leading with conviction and leading on the world stage.
Okay, everybody knows this. So Joe Biden's idea is let's redirect toward COVID, and let's do it with policy that is never ending. The masking of children has become the point du jour. This is the thing that Democrats and the left would love to talk about, is masking kids. So Anthony Fauci, who can always be counted on to take a series of conflicting decisions, and can also be counted on to do so with great confidence. Like, he'll take two positions that are in complete conflict with one another over the course of a year, and then he will say each with equal confidence. So here he is saying it's time to mask up kids. Again, can he cite a study, like one study, showing that mandatory masking of children has been effective? The answer is he cannot, because those studies do not exist. The answer is he cannot, because those studies do not exist. There is no evidence that masking of kids is effective. Or, by the way, necessary, because thank God the Delta variant is no more deadly for kids, as far as the data that we have seen, than was the Alpha variant, which means it is highly not deadly for kids. Again, I'm going to cite to you the CDC statistics on age. Okay, here are the CDC statistics on age. I'm looking at them right now. Okay, according to the CDC, a grand total, this is updated as of August 18th, 2021, 2 days ago, the grand total of people in the United States under the age of 18 who have died involving COVID-19, involving COVID-19, right? Not just of COVID-19, involving COVID-19. This is the CDC's language. 0 to 17, a cohort of 73 million Americans, 361. We are not seeing a radical uptick in death among the young. We're not. Okay, anybody who's telling you differently is lying to you. It is not true. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, you know, life can be very tiring. It can be overwhelming to perform at your best as you age. You've got career, family, staying in shape. Life can get stressful. You start to slow down. You're not present when you want to be. To perform at your best, physically and mentally, you can't let age beat you. And this is where M-Drive can help. M-Drive is the daily supplement for people who don't want to slow down, who refuse to be tired every day, who want to be the best at what they do. It's packed with clinically tested ingredients that support healthy testosterone levels while helping you lose weight and stay lean. Added vitamins and nutrients reduce stress and boost your drive so you can perform at your best. You can find it at Walgreens and other retailers, or visit mdriveformen.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code Ben. They've got free shipping. They've got a 60-day money-back guarantee. You got nothing to lose. M-Drive, it's not for everyone. It's for the driven. mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. That's mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. Again, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code Ben. That's M, the letter M, driveformen.com. Use promo code Ben to get started. mdriveformen.com, promo code Ben. I looked at the stats a week ago. Since August 11th, a grand total of 7 children, people under the age of 18, have died of COVID-19 in the United States out of a cohort of 73 million. Okay, no, we are not seeing a radical exponential spike in death rates for kids. But if the left can convince you that your kids are in danger, they can continue to focus in on an issue where they think they have a winning hand, because then they get to claim that Republicans just don't care if kids die. But here's Anthony Fauci doing this routine.
Masks are an important thing for the mitigation of the transmission and the acquisition of infection. That they are very important, particularly when you have a highly, highly transmissible virus in the form of the Delta variant. And that's the reason why, when you talk about the extra added degree of protection, even in a school system where you may have vaccinated teachers and some of the children may be vaccinated, you want to wear a mask to protect the children so that they could continue to be in school in person, in classes, so that we don't get the deleterious effects on the child of, again, keeping them out of school. You want to do that, but you want to do it safely.
Okay, notice the lack of logic here. Okay, so he says, we have to make sure that we mask all the kids, because otherwise the kids might get sick. Okay, now, number one, kids who are getting sick from COVID, as a general rule, and I'm talking statistically, do not get seriously ill from COVID. Okay, so then he says, we have to make sure that we don't shut down schools, right? We have to keep them in school. I have a question. What is your standard for keeping them in school? Seriously, what is your standard? If your standard, because there, this shows that all they care about is zero COVID. If your kid had a cold, okay, let's just take a completely different disease, a different coronavirus. Your kid had a cold in school. Your kid transmitted that cold in school to the other kids. Did they shut down the class? Has that ever happened anytime your entire life? Did it happen when you were a kid or when your kids were kids? Of course not. That's very silly. So case count is not necessarily what matters here. The question is anyone getting seriously ill among the children? If the answer is no, why are you shutting down classes? Why? You actually have to explain, what is the metric for shutting down classes? The metric seems to be zero COVID. If there are no cases of COVID among kids, we keep the classes open. But what I'm saying is that that is an idiotic standard. Why should I care particularly much if a bunch of kids get colds? I never have before. I don't particularly now. And if we're worried about the teachers should all be vaccinated. And if they don't want to get vaccinated, they can wear an N95. That one's on them. What we are really doing here, and everybody knows it, is we are masking up the kids to protect the teachers or to make people's faint-hearted parents feel better about themselves. That's what we are doing here. Hey, that is not rooted in data linked to danger for children. Because again, the danger to children from COVID is exorbitantly low, extremely low. 361 kids dead over the course of the last year and a half. Every one of those is a tragedy, but 361 kids under the age of 18 have died in the United States from COVID over the course of the last year and a half. At the same exact period of time, the number of kids who have died from other diseases is much, much, much higher. The number of kids who have died from, for example, pneumonia is 865 over the course of the same amount of time. Hey, even the flu, which basically didn't exist last year, got wiped out by COVID, apparently. Even 188 kids died of the flu in the last year and a half. So about half the number of kids died of the flu as died of COVID. If you're looking at the amount of deadliness, you have to look back at the Asian flu epidemic that happened in 2009, 2010. That particular flu epidemic didn't actually, it was more deadly for kids than this is. Like, there's no metric here. None at all. Which, by the way, I mean, the swine flu from April 2009 to April 2010 resulted in about 1,282 deaths of kids under the age of 18. Okay, so it's deadlier. Did anybody shut down schools for it? Of course not. That's incredibly silly. Okay, but they continue to argue about masking kids. Why? Because it allows them to do the political thing of suggesting that Republicans are the worst people in the world. So here, for example, is Don Lemon doing just that. Again, completely data-free, just nonsense.
How is it freedom to force children who are too young to be vaccinated into schools where they could be exposed to a deadly virus surrounded by people...
Pause it for a second. Hold on a second. So where they could be exposed to a deadly virus... Not for them. Not for them. Where are the stats showing this is a highly deadly virus for children? They don't exist. They don't exist. But this clod is saying this sort of stuff to scare the hell out of parents. I know this is happening because in my own community, there are a bunch of parents who are freaked out about COVID hitting their kids when the stats do not bear it out. They do not bear it out at all. And by the way, there's no evidence that even if you mask your kids, it's going to do a damn bit of thing. Right? There's no evidence of this. Anyway, here's Don Lemon. Again, this is all political. This is not data-driven. It is not science-driven.
Putting politics ahead of life-saving science, like those governors are encouraging people to do, it is just depraved. People are dying all across this country, people with loved ones who are grieving tonight. These are people who didn't have to die.
Okay, stop it right here. Okay, he's such a liar. These are people who didn't have to die. If only we had mask mandates. Mask mandates have not worked anywhere on earth. There is no evidence that mask mandates, not masks, mask mandates. Because here's the thing. When people are scared of the virus, they mask up. You don't need a mandate. When people aren't scared of the virus, it doesn't matter if you have a mandate, they don't mask up. And when it comes to COVID, when it comes to the Delta variant, cloth masks ain't doing the job. You need an N95 or a KN95, according to best available data. By the way, in Sweden, they never masked kids. According to Martin Koldorf, who's a professor at Harvard Medical School, quote, with open schools and no masks for ages 1 through 15 in Sweden, there were zero COVID deaths among its 1.8 million children during the first wave. teachers had a lower risk than average of other professions. So we knew early on that schools are safe without masks. Other countries are not super crazy the way that we are, apparently. Here's the head of the UK Department of Education, or an advisor named Dr. Susan Hopkins, talking about why kids don't need masks.
In looking at it, we've talked to educationalists, public health, and clinical specialists. And the consensus view is very strongly to not advise school children at primary school age to wear face coverings. This is for two reasons. One is that they can have difficulties wearing them and keeping them on all day. And the second part of that is that it's really important that they can see facial expressions in order to develop their communications and language skills.
Okay, yes, correct. Okay, so the UK has it. What about us? Alrighty, coming up, remember that time that we were told that we had to have plastic barriers in all the classrooms? Like, these plastic barriers were going to save all of us? It turns out the science, they didn't know anything. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, let's talk about keeping your kids safe. Here's an easy way to keep your kids safe. Make sure you have an eye on them. The best way for me to do that, I have Ring devices on my home. With my Ring alarm security system, I'm much more at ease when I'm on the road or away from home. My Ring alarm equals peace of mind. You can protect your home with Ring Alarm. Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable whole home security system you can easily install yourself. It works seamlessly with other Ring products in one simple app. For a special offer, go to ring.com/Ben. It's the perfect way to start your Ring experience. You can keep an eye on every corner of your house with indoor and outdoor cams. You can see what's happening directly from your phone. I didn't realize how easy the Ring Alarm was to install. I can even install it myself. Protect your home anytime from anywhere with Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben for a special offer on a Ring Alarm security kit today. You can build a system that's right for your home, have it up and running in just minutes. That's ring.com/Ben. Again, ring.com/Ben. Whenever I'm out of town, I can keep an eye on what's going on with my kids. When I'm in town and my kids are running around, I can't find them. Ring.com helps me out. Go check them out right now. Ring.com/Ben. That's ring.com/Ben. Already coming up. Remember that time you were told that plastic barriers were a must? It turns out they might make the virus worse. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
By Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years. They get a regular diet of Dinovite with every meal.
DinoVite.com.
People remark on what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, you don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
Tracy Morgan for the American Rescue Plan.
People often look at me and think I'm a fireman. So when they came to me and said, Chief, tell them about the American Rescue Plan. I jumped down a fire pole
and I got to work.
Ma'am, Do you have any kids at home?
Oh, yes, I do, handsome fireman.
Let's keep this professional. But what if I could put out some of your financial fires? Up to $300 per month per child. It could rescue you.
Claim your money at MyRescuePlan.org. That's MyRescuePlan.org.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you remember how we were all supposed to put plastic pieces of, like, plexiglass in front of our faces all the time? Remember this? Like, in school classrooms. My kid last year had plexiglass in front of her. According to the New York Times, it turns out that's crap. Tara Parker Pope says, COVID precautions have turned many parts of our world into a giant salad bar, with plastic barriers separating sales clerks from shoppers, dividing shoppers in nail salons, and shielding students from their classmates. Intuition tells us a plastic shield would be protective against germs. But scientists who study aerosols, airflow, and ventilation say much of the time the barriers don't help and probably give people a false sense of security. Sometimes the barriers can make things worse. Research suggests that in some instances, a barrier protecting a clerk behind a checkout counter may redirect the germs to another worker or customer. Rows of clear plastic shields, like you might find in a nail salon or a classroom, can also impede normal airflow and ventilation. Under normal conditions in stores, classrooms, and offices, exhaled breath particles disperse, carried by air currents, and, depending on the ventilation system, are replaced by fresh air roughly every 15 to 30 minutes. But if you erect plastic barriers, that can change airflow in a room, disrupt normal ventilation, and create dead zones where viral aerosol particles can build up and become highly concentrated. Says Lindsay Marr, professor of civil and environmental engineering at Virginia Tech and one of the world's leading experts on viral transmission, quote, "If you have a forest of barriers in a classroom, it's going to interfere with proper ventilation of that room. Everybody's aerosols are going to be trapped and stuck there and building up, and they will end up spreading beyond your own desk." Okay, so just to get this straight, over the course of the pandemic, we went from masks are bad, according to Fauci, to masks are not only good, but the best. Two, we need plastic barriers, super important. Two, plastic barriers may, in fact, make things worse. Two, we have to have 6 feet of distancing, but also 6 feet of distancing comes from absolutely nowhere. Like, if you ask the CDC where 6 feet of social distancing comes from, they have no idea. It's a standard that comes from nowhere. But it's all the science, guys. It's the science because Don Lemon says it's the science. And by the way, anybody who is worried about getting a vaccine, a Moderna vaccine, if they're young, right? If anybody who actually looks at their own risk factors and says, listen, I think I'm young and I'm healthy, I'm probably not going to get super sick from COVID-19 because just the odds are in my favor. And, you know, I'm not super comfortable with, like, the Moderna vaccine. Those people are apparently anti-vax crazies, according to everybody. Quote from the Washington Post today. Federal health officials are investigating emerging reports that the Moderna coronavirus vaccine may be associated with a higher risk of a heart condition called myocarditis in younger adults than previously believed, according to two people familiar with the review. The investigation, which involves the FDA and Center for Disease Control, is focused on Canadian data that suggests the Moderna vaccine may carry a higher risk for young people than the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, especially for males below the age of 30 or so. The two people who described the investigation spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss it. Moderna did not respond to a request for comment. In a statement, the CDC said its advisory committee on immunization practices has and continues to review reports of myocarditis and pericarditis following COVID-19 mRNA vaccination. CDC, FDA, our vaccine safety partners, are actively monitoring these reports. One individual said the Canadian data indicates there might be a 2.5 times higher incidence of myocarditis in those who get Moderna compared with the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. It's still extremely rare. So again, this is not an anti-vaccine point. I still think that all factors being taken into consideration, for nearly everyone, the vaccine is a good idea, at least for people who are not children. But people who are looking around and saying, I feel like I'm not being told all the risks, I mean, that's not totally irrational, especially, again, if you are very young and if your risk factors are very low. And again, to go back to those CDC death data by age, you know, it's not just that this thing is very not deadly for kids. This thing is not particularly deadly for adults who are under the age of 30. Right? If you look at the actual statistics from the CDC, across the course of this entire pandemic, more people in the United States aged 18 to 29 have died of pneumonia than have died of COVID in the same period. Right? So it's much more deadly than the flu for people who are 18 to 29, like a lot more deadly than the flu for people who are aged 18 to 29. But it's not more deadly than pneumonia. And also, again, like, you are a rational human being. You get to take your risk factors into account. But the idea here is that if you take risk factors into account, this means that you're very bad. Here's the bottom line. Everybody gets to make their own decision now. We are all rational human beings. We all get to make our own decision about our own health. right, when it comes to whether to take a vaccine or not. I have some ideas of whether you should take it. I think, generally, you should. Unless you have some really compelling reason not to. I think you should take the vaccine, if you're an adult. With that said, we all have our free choice. It's been available for a while. We're now done. But the left has to keep this alive. And they must keep this alive explicitly for political purposes. And now, more than ever, they have to keep it alive for political purposes. Because as we exit the summer and we enter the winter, and the Delta spike shifts from the seasonally hot states like Florida and Texas and shifts into the Midwest and maybe into the Northeast, you're going to start seeing all the COVID talk start to fade just a little. It can't be quite as political as it's been. And right now is the time to make hay for the Democrats. They have to make hay right now because their president is completely destroying America's foreign policy. And it turns out that their push for tyranny at home is not all that popular either. Alrighty, coming up, Andrew Sullivan is a well-known columnist who is now fighting back against wokeness. Andrew is a center-left guy, but he and I have a lot to agree on. He's coming up as the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on the Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com with Carl and Linda Bach.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did the Reading summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Dropin.mobi. That's dropin.mobi.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. One of the most fascinating columnists in America over the past 20, 30 years has been Andrew Sullivan. He has a brand new book out. It's sort of a career retrospective, Out on a Limb, 1989 to 2021, a collection of his best columns, 60 pieces from the past three decades that are sort of a chronicle of his life and career. Andrew, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben.
So why don't we start with where we agree, and then we can move to sort of where we disagree. Why don't we start with in recent years, you've come under a lot of fire from, I would say, the radical and now increasingly mainstream left for not going along with the sort of woke approach to politics, for insisting, for example, that we debate out issues, that not everything can be solved with a resort to a bad old tweet, and that there does need to be a necessary broadening of the Overton window. How did you come to that perspective? How dire a threat do you think wokeism provides right now?
Well, look, I'm a classical liberal in that sense. I believe that the core unit of our society is the individual. And I believe in defending that individual and his or her rights. And I also believe that a democracy is about those individuals coming together to deliberate the common good with other individuals. And that is the American project. A critical theory believes that that is entirely a plot to oppress non-white people and it has to be dismantled. I don't care whether you're on the right or the left. If you believe in America and in the Western system, this is direct attack upon it. And it is anti-reason. And it is a way in which the individual person is merged into a group identity and therefore only then has rights. For me, that's anathema. It's absolutely anathema to everything I believe in and have grown up to believe in. And I immigrated this country because I believe in the individual's ability to make a life for him or herself as far as possible by him or herself. And this ideology, which is teaching people to find meaning in essentially meaningless things like your skin color, is pernicious and also intolerant. And of course, as you know, by refusing to go along with that stuff, by just simply refusing, I was fired at some point. New York Magazine literally nominated me for Pulitzer one year and the following year fired me. So that's the level of integrity going on here. And it's worth fighting. It's a fight worth fighting because Western civilization is worth defending.
So, Andrew, I wanted to ask you how deep you think the roots go at this point, because there is this idea, it's commonplace on sort of the middle left, that wokeism is sort of a transitory phenomenon, that it's eventually going to go away, and eventually is pretty soon. And that hasn't sunk its roots particularly deep, that people are overstating the extent of quote-unquote cancel culture, and that when people like you, or like Barry Weiss, or like me, when we decry the threat to free speech, they say, well, you know, it's not government. I mean, New York Magazine obviously isn't a governmental institution, or for Barry Weiss, the New York Times, or for me, Politico. None of these places are governmental institutions. So is there really an institutional threat to free speech? And if so, how deep does it go?
Well, thank God we have the First Amendment. And legally, that has been very strongly protected by the current court. And if you didn't have the First Amendment, if you lived in a place like the UK or Canada, we'd be in a much worse position. In the UK now, a parent can say something about, let's say, trans ideology, and the kid can report them to the cops. And police will come around and knock on their door. Now, we're not there. And I think it's important to say that. I'm free. You're free. You're producing your podcast. I'm writing my own Substack now with my own podcast and reaching the same number of people. So I'm not whining. I'm not a victim here. But I do believe there is also not just the letter of the First Amendment, but the spirit of the First Amendment. And the spirit of the First Amendment is that we need to engage one another and listen to all kinds of views, including ones that we really don't like, because we know we don't know everything. And we know the only way to find out what is true is to have a maximum array of possible alternatives to choose from and to reason through. And when you constrain that, when you tell people they cannot go to certain areas, not only do you produce terrible writing, because a writer needs to have freedom, needs to make mistakes. And when you're cagey and you're defensive and you're terrified of being fired because you might say the wrong word, you end up writing incredibly mediocre stuff. But also because we know that this is the best way to learn the truth. And I believe in the objective truth. We can't always get to the objective truth because we're all flawed. And yes, in that sense, objectivity is very hard. The idea that you give up objectivity and just go into sentimentality and subjectivism renders the democratic project absolutely impossible because we can't talk to one another. So the spirit of the First Amendment, the willingness to be with people who do not agree with you, the spirit of it to accept and tolerate even religious beliefs you find totally repulsive or political beliefs, that is what the West has managed to create in just a few hundred years. Now, we are not like that as a species. It is an achievement to have overcome tribalism and identity and become citizens in the West in the last 300 years. So we know it's fragile. And the reason I'm opposing this so strongly, the wokeness, is that it's so easy to lose. It's so much easier for people to be tribal. It's much more in terms of our human nature rather than to be the individual reasoning person citizen.
We'll get to more on this with Andrew Sullivan in just one second. First, if you own a home and you haven't refinanced, what exactly are you waiting for? Mortgage rates are excellent right now, like really, really low. That means you could easily drop your rate and your monthly payment. All you have to do is call American Financing. That's America's home for home loans. Take advantage of a free mortgage review. That's right, free, meaning no pressure, no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees, just a simple conversation with a salary-based mortgage consultant, someone who's going to listen to you and guide you so you're getting a custom loan that achieves your goals. From lower rates to shorter terms, even debt consolidation, they've got you covered. So don't put off a refinance any longer. There are still options in the twos. They can't stay this low forever. Pre-qualify for free by calling 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now, AmericanFinancing.net. Your mortgage, it's your biggest monthly bill. No reason you shouldn't get it lowered if you can. Check out my friends at AmericanFinancing.net or give them a call at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300. Pre-qualify for free by giving them a call right now. So, Andrew, one of the things that I think is becoming pretty clear is that if there is going to be a future for open debate, it doesn't rest on the right, which has generally opposed cancel culture at this point. There are obvious exceptions to that. And it certainly doesn't rest with the radical left, which is very much in favor of destroying the capacity to even have these conversations. It rests with the center or center left. And the question I guess I have is whether there's been this newfound sort of protestation. You see it in the Harper's Weekly letter, for example, last year, in which 150 center or center left intellectuals signed a letter saying cancel culture is generally bad. Do you think that there is going to be a real attempt to open up the Overton window to people who disagree? Or is the goal right now for a lot of people on the center and center left to just open up the Overton window enough so they can climb through? In other words, if the gatekeepers here are the radical left, is the center left pushing to just open the gate to them? Or are they really like, I'm glad that you're willing to come on the show, frankly, because there are a lot of people who are pushing for a broader Overton window who aren't, which does lead to the sort of ironic position that even when it comes to disagreement with mainstream right-wing figures, that is too much to bear.
Well, that's absurd. I mean, look, I do think that the people fundamentally responsible are what you would call center-left or liberals who are running major cultural institutions or even big corporations, and certainly the universities, and magazines and newspapers who just do not and have not demonstrated dedication to the integrity of the process. And they are caving, constantly caving to pressure from the left. There is no ratchet back, as far as I can see. Maybe we're beginning to see it. I think the Substack has helped a little bit. You can see that the New York Times actually hired John McWhorter to do a newsletter. Now, that's something they wouldn't felt they needed to do 6 months ago, I think. And also you get the sense that there's a limit to anti-Trump constant propaganda when Trump is no longer the president and when people are looking for a diverse range of opinions. So in general, I think that wokeness produces boring content. You go to these websites now online and they all basically have the same stories and have the same bloody attitude towards everything. And it's tedious. So in the end, I hope that readers and viewers and people who haven't lost their minds to this ideology will provide it and demand a more diverse array of actual opinions so they can better make up their minds.
Now, Andrew Sullivan is on the line. His new book is Out on a Limb, 1989 to 2021. It's a career retrospective. It's well worth the read. So, Andrew, where do you think a lot of this came from? So I have a theory that I think you're going to strongly disagree with. And my theory is that wokeism did not, it really was not of much concern to the American public, certainly up through about 2008. And it's pretty obvious that even at the beginning of the Obama administration, it wasn't of major concern. I think that one of the things that really changed the nature of American politics was a shift, a sort of market shift in the nature of the Obama administration, meaning Barack Obama in 2008 ran as a unifier. You were a large scale advocate of his candidacy. You wrote a very famous story for the cover of The Atlantic in 2007 championing his candidacy. At that point, his image, broad scale, was uniter, not divider, no red states, no blue states, the United States, no black Americans, no white Americans, just Americans. And then after the election of 2010 and his re-election campaign in 2012, there seemed to be a pretty marked shift in the attitude of the Obama campaign, particularly with regard to how American politics was to be done. And while Obama himself says that he is an opponent of cancel culture, he's spoken out pretty clearly about that multiple times. The mere concessions, the idea that we have to be appealed to as groups, as opposed to appealed to broad scale the way he did in 2008, I think was a marked turning point in the nature of American politics.
You will be surprised to say that I don't fully agree with you. I don't see a huge shift in his 2012 campaign from his 2008 campaign, to be honest with you. What I do see, however, and this is not about him as much, but the left in general, the left began to drift towards the even further left in the second Obama term. And this is coming bubbling up. So, for example, I think of things like that guidance from the Education Department that simply mandated the access to bathrooms in every high school in the country overnight. She said, this is our guidance. You do this and that right now. We're not interested in input. We're not interested in local debate. And they went ahead and did that. I think also the Title IX stuff, where they essentially stripped men on campuses of the vast majority of due process that they had to counter claims of sexual harassment or assault. That also was another clear shift to the left. But I think of that less, and you'll disagree with this maybe, but I think of that less as Obama suddenly changing his rhetoric. I don't think the rhetoric changed particularly. I think when you look at Obama's 2012 campaign and compare it to Hillary's 2016 campaign, there I will agree with you. Hillary ran to be the first woman president and ran to raise and to build up her demographic base and have a turnout. Obama never abandoned talking to white people in the Midwest and working class white people, and he did quite well with them. Because at some point there was part of Obama brought up in the Midwest by white grandparents who understood white America and did not believe in the way that Hillary does, that they're all a bunch of bigoted rubes. And so I don't quite agree. I do think the left shifted. I think the key year is around 2015. And 2015, I think, is the first time, it's a combination of things. The media was in terrible trouble, as you recall, and they were going under, and they needed to get with the program online. So they hired a whole bunch of recent elite college graduates into their newsrooms to get the clickbait going. In that process, they imported a huge range of newly minted fanatics from Harvard and Yale and all the other. And they had disproportionate influence in the media in that period of time of weak economics. And they set set these rules. And I saw it myself in the nature of the interns coming up. They suddenly became incredibly entitled, incredibly bristly at any demands, very nitpicky about your language. It was like we had suddenly educated a whole generation of Puritans. And that hurt. And then, of course, Trump put this woke stuff on steroids. It was their fantasy nightmare of the white tyrant coming up to represent white supremacy. And all those trends were then kicked into overdrive with the emergence of Trump. And we're still dealing with that.
We'll get to more with Andrew Sullivan in just one second. First, let's talk about your internet privacy and security. So you wouldn't go to the bathroom and just leave the door wide open. You wouldn't leave your safe wide open at home. Why would you let your internet security just be wide open? There's no reason for it. Did you know your ISP knows every single website you visit? What's worse, they can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity can't be seen by anyone. I use ExpressVPN on all my devices. It works on everything, phones, laptops, even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected, even if they don't have ExpressVPN. The best part, using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. Just fire up the app, you click one button, and now you are protected. ExpressVPN is the world's number one rated VPN by CNET, The Verge, and countless others. So, if you're like me and you believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/ben today. Use my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/ben, and get an extra 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/ben. Get started today. Already coming up, more with columnist Andrew Sullivan. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Bojo would swallow things whole, a chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Earth Justice is a national legal nonprofit defending the planet and its people for nearly 50 years. Earth Justice has 150 full-time lawyers fighting in court for our planet's future and representing all clients free of charge. Until people come before profit, all energy is clean, the wild is truly free, and justice stands for all. Earth Justice will never rest. Learn more at earthjustice.org/neverrest. Earth Justice, because the earth needs a good lawyer.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Andrew Sullivan. He, of course, is a very famous columnist. He has a brand new book out. It's a retrospective of the columns over the course of his career. Yeah, Andrew, one of the things that I find so shocking about this right now is that you would have assumed that the left, the woke left would have eventually sort of moved by the wayside with the election of Joe Biden, who is an explicit rejection of the Bernie Sanders socialist wing of the Democratic Party, and who in his career had not been seen as certainly a woke figure. There's nothing about Joe Biden that says wokeness. And yet he is presiding over the wokest administration in American history. The attempts to cram down, quote unquote, equity as every part of the government. They've literally said this, right? And equity is very different from equality. It is explicit critical racial theory language. It's kind of a shocking development. And it does raise the question as to why. Why is the Democratic Party continuing to move in this direction? Are they just so governed by the Twitter elite? Or does this go back to this idea that there is this emerging Democratic minority-majority coalition, and that if they continue to double down on wokeness and change the coalition and sort of abandon everybody except for the college-educated white liberals, demographically speaking, from white America, that they will be able to create a new everlasting coalition that will never be defeated again, which I think is frankly delusional.
I think it's delusional, too, but I also think this, Ben, that John Judis and Rita Scherer, whom you cite, who were the architects and wrote the coming Democratic majority, have since renounced
yep.
it. It is debunked by the people who proposed it. And when you see in the last election that there are plenty of members of minority groups who don't particularly like being condescended to, treated as just members of groups rather than individuals, they don't like many parts of the left agenda, and who between 2016 and 2020 moved slightly towards Trump, the alleged white supremacist. I don't think that's the case. And I think of it like this pathological egalitarianism. And they've hit upon this idea that if any institution anywhere has some kind of demographic mix that is not exactly representative of the community at large, then there must be racism. Now, they have adopted this incredibly crude, it's kind of worthy of the intellect of Ibram X. Kendi because it's so basically crude and dumb, which is the only way, not just one way, because racism probably does have some influence on that, but doesn't take account of culture, doesn't take account of economics, doesn't take account of family structure, it doesn't account for the million other factors that could possibly lead to a divergence or a diversity, actual diversity of different sectors having different groups of people. I believe in letting the free market work and not being obsessed with this. But you can see how appealing it is. They have a formula now for perfect equity, as they call it. And they have a crude weapon, government, to enforce it. What they are doing, and we need to not use this term equity. It's such a sneaky little word because almost most people aren't hearing that. They hear equality or
right.
equalness. Or they don't realize they're being given a code. And that code is we believe in race and sex discrimination. They are actually engaging in a government-wide process of discriminating against people on the basis of their race and their sex and also their sexual orientation. And that's just wrong. It's against the Civil Rights Act. And one thing I hope happens with some of this stuff is that civil rights suits are filed. It would be so fitting and wonderful if the main weapon to defeat these programs of quote-unquote equity would be the Civil Rights Act itself, because that act itself defends white people against anti-racist discrimination. It protects everybody independent of the actual content of your race, which is the principle we're trying to uphold and which they are now trying to deny. Now, Biden, I don't know. I'm very depressed about their domestic stuff in this respect, because it seems Biden has just sort of accepted that Kamala Harris and that wing of the party is just going to run the domestic government. It's as if he's kind of just completely surrendered to it. And he's also old, and he doesn't seem to many in the party to represent the future. So I think of Biden as a decent and not ill-intentioned, a good man who's capable of making mistakes, but who has essentially capitulated to radicals. And I've never seen him once stand up against it, unless you're talking about the defund the police issue last year, where he did stake out a position. But he didn't do so with the outrage necessary to really rebut the notion that all cops and the police in general are somehow the problem. And I also think he's the only one of those candidates who could have beaten Trump. So the Democratic Party is more fragile than it looks, I think. It's built upon an ideology that most Americans, including many members of minorities, do not like. And they don't have a very popular figure to rally around.
That's Andrew Sullivan, his brand new book, Out on a Limit, 1989 to 2021. It is definitely a fascinating compendium. And Andrew, really appreciate your time and good luck with the book.
Thank you so much, Ben, for having me. I really appreciate it.
All righty. So we have reached the end of this week. And what a horrifying week it has been for America. Hopefully next week is a little bit better. I somehow doubt it. The President of the United States, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. The President of the United States is not with us. He's not been with us for quite some time. This is a delusional president. He is operating under the auspices of an administration that is seizing tremendous domestic and foreign power. And it's very scary. It's a very, very scary thing. So rest up this weekend. I'm sure we'll have much more to talk about on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Folks in New England bracing for their first direct hit by a hurricane in some three decades. National Hurricane Center says Henri is expected to intensify into a hurricane by Saturday. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker.
I know that August weekends in Massachusetts are usually a great time to be outside and enjoy what's left of the rest of summer, but it looks like this storm is going to have a big impact on the Commonwealth, and we really would urge everybody to do everything they can to stay home on Sunday.
Now, the last time that region had a direct hit from a hurricane, 30 years ago this week, when Bob, a Category 2 storm, killed 17 people. Also at townhall.com, German Chancellor Angela Merkel in Moscow for talks with Vladimir Putin as the relationship between the two countries continues to suffer.
At their last pre-pandemic meeting in Moscow, Chancellor Merkel and President Putin talked for more than 3 hours. Some topics haven't changed. They'll disagree about Russian-backed rebels in eastern Ukraine and find common ground on Nord Stream 2, their incomplete undersea gas pipeline, which Germany's allies oppose. Two new issues have emerged, Afghanistan and Belarus, which has been pushing Middle Eastern migrants into the European Union in retaliation for sanctions. All this on the anniversary of the nerve agent attack on the jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who was treated in Germany. Moscow is still trying to switch the blame to Berlin.
That is correspondent Mike Sanders. California wildfires already causing devastation for the past 3 months. Now, sad to say, forecasters say the worst of the wildfires may be yet to come. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
More than 50 senators have signed a letter asking the White House to quickly evacuate Afghan interpreters who may face severe punishment by the Taliban. Bob Agnew explains.
In a letter penned by Republican Joni Ernst and Democrat Gene Shaheen, senators urged swift action by the administration to rescue the interpreters. They could face reprisals from the Taliban for aiding the U.S. during its years of military operations inside Afghanistan. The letter asks the process for special immigrant visas to be expedited and expanded. It also urges greater efforts to secure the main airport in Kabul, the main site where the U.S. military is evacuating American citizens. Bob Agnew reported.
A man who claimed he had a bomb in his pickup, telling a federal judge he has not taken his mind medication. The 49-year-old man drove a pickup onto the sidewalk outside the Library of Congress. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A bankruptcy judge approving a proposal by the Boy Scouts of America.
The proposal set up an $850 million fund to compensate tens of thousands of men who say they were sexually abused as youngsters by scout leaders. But the judge also rejected two key provisions of the deal, potentially jeopardizing the agreement that the organization had been hoping to use as a springboard to emerge from bankruptcy later this year. It was not immediately clear how the ruling will affect the future of the bankruptcy case for the Texas-based organization. John Scott reporting.
A killer whale has died at SeaWorld San Diego. The theme park says the 6-year-old female orca named Amaya died late Thursday. Cause of death will not be known for quite some time. Officials do say the creature began showing signs of illness Wednesday. Animal care specialists were called in, but it was too late. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in Jefferson State of Mind.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. We begin with the latest from Afghanistan, where the situation continues to be just awful. We now have tape of toddlers being pulled over the airport wall by American forces because people are so desperate to get their kids out of Afghanistan ahead of the Taliban that they are handing their own children, like small babies, over to the American military. Here's what that tape looks like. It's just a disaster area. Meanwhile, video has been taken outside the airport, apparently showing people basically being crowded into a ditch by the Taliban. These are supposed to be people who are waiting to enter the airport. Again, this is not an organized withdrawal, shall we say. And, of course, you can hear the gunshots, so things are going beautifully right outside the airport. Sounds great. Meanwhile, the Taliban spent the day yesterday celebrating because, after all, it was the anniversary of the independence of Afghanistan. According to the New York Times, Kabul was many things on Thursday. The chaos at the airport was matched by calm in other pockets of the city. Some businesses resumed work. Many people were trying to get on with their lives. Others were in hiding, afraid for theirs. Women were scarce. There were some signs of Taliban restraint, but also clear evidence its members patrolling the streets were not afraid to wield force. In fact, there is a story from CNN.com about a photographer who was basically, he got the hell beat out of him by the Taliban. And then when they realized he was a reporter, they started trying to take selfies with him. So everything is well organized over there. The president of the United States is supposed to address the nation on Friday, apparently. As the United States tries to ramp up its troubled evacuation in Afghanistan, Biden is expected today to address the furor over the sluggish process, stymied by mayhem in Kabul and delays in Washington that threatens to strand thousands of Afghans desperate to flee the Taliban takeover. He's defended the pullout from Afghanistan while promising not to abandon the Afghans who risked their lives. He's walked back that promise pretty clearly, as we'll see in just one moment. The United States has rushed troops and diplomatic reinforcements to Kabul in recent days to speed up visa processing for Afghans. American commanders are negotiating daily with their Taliban counterparts to ensure the evacuees can reach the airport because we are pathetic. Okay, we're now begging the Taliban. Negotiating with the Taliban, we mean begging the Taliban. The British and the French have been sending out military patrols to go pick up their citizens and bring them to the airport. The United States, however, is hunkered down behind the walls of Kabul airport, fearful that if the United States walks out, the Taliban will attack them, and then Joe Biden will have to overturn his promise to get all the troops out by August 31st and insert more troops into Kabul, turning a disaster area into a full-scale conflagration, all because the man is a moron. Thousands are waiting fearfully outside the airport gates, according to the New York Times, where Taliban soldiers have attacked people with sticks and rifle butts. As Afghans clutching travel documents camped outside amid Taliban checkpoints and tangles of concertina wire, anxious crowds were being pressed up against blast walls, with women and children being hoisted into the arms of U.S. soldiers on the other side. The Taliban's unpredictability and history of brutality have set off a rush to escape, especially among Afghans who worked alongside U.S. and NATO forces. That, of course, is no surprise, given the fact that so many people are going to be left there and murdered. I mean, that is the Taliban are apparently going door to door, according to Daily Wire. The Taliban are intensifying their search for Afghans who helped the United States and have a list of people they intend to, quote-unquote, question and punish, which is code for murder, according to a Thursday report from the New York Times based on a document prepared by the United Nations. The development seems to complicate assurances from the Biden administration that the Taliban are somewhat reformed from their previous iteration. Biden seemed to hint at a changing interpretation of the Taliban's newfound commitment to freedom in his recent interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Meanwhile, the Taliban are also going door-to-door seeking Christians. They are searching through phones for Bible apps to make sure that there are no Christians in country. According to the Daily Wire, Afghan Christians are reportedly fleeing to the mountains in a desperate attempt to escape the Taliban who are going door-to-door trying to kill them. Things are going great, in other words. An underground church that partners with Frontier Alliance International has reported that the Taliban are targeting Christians for death. According to FAI, the Taliban has a hit list of known Christians they are targeting to pursue and kill. The U.S. embassy is defunct. There's no longer a safe place for believers to take refuge. All borders to neighboring countries are closed. All flights to and from have been halted with the exception of private planes. People are fleeing into the mountains looking for asylum. They are fully reliant on God, who's the only one who can and will protect them. The Taliban are going door to door taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old so the Taliban can take them. If they find a young girl and the house was not marked, they will execute the entire family. If a married woman 25 years or older has been found, the Taliban promptly kill her husband, do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. This is according to, again, the Frontier Alliance International, a Christian NGO. Meanwhile, U.S. allied Afghan forces are completely in hiding, according to the New York Times. Thousands of Afghan security force members managed to make it to other countries over the past few weeks as the Taliban advanced. Others managed to negotiate surrender and went back to their homes. Some kept their weapons and joined the Taliban. They were all part of the sudden atomization of the national security forces. The United States and its allies spent tens of billions of dollars to arm, train, and stand against the Taliban. Tens of thousands of other Afghan grunts, commandos, and spies who fought to the end despite the talk in Washington that the Afghan forces simply gave up have been left behind. They're now on the run, hiding and hunted by the Taliban. There's no way out, said Fareed, an Afghan commando, in a text message to an American soldier who fought with him. Fareed, who agreed to be identified by first name only, said he was hiding in the mountains of eastern Afghanistan, trapped after the regular army units surrendered around him. I am praying to be saved, he said. Militants are threatening to arrest or punish family members if they can't find the people they are looking for, according to former Afghan officials. Most spoke on condition of anonymity to protect friends and loved ones still hiding in Afghanistan. The Taliban is combing through records of the Ministry of Defense and Interior and the headquarters of Afghanistan's spy service, drawing up lists of operatives to search for. There are more and more reports. Militants are exacting swift and fatal revenge when they are found, which, of course, is not exactly a shock. So things are going beautifully. In a second, we'll get to the latest on the evacuation efforts, which are a complete bleep show. First, let's be real about this. You need a mattress that is made for you, right? Everything else in your life is personalized. You go to the coffee shop, they personalize your coffee. Why not the thing you're spending hours at night on? Your mattress. Helix Sleep can make this magic happen for you. They have for me. Helix Sleep built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, if you sleep really hot, with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste, like me. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They'll match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I've got a Helix mattress. You don't need to take my word for it. Helix was rated best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Everything is made right here in the United States. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't love it, They'll pick it up right for you, no problem. So really, you have nothing to worry about here. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Again, that's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for a mattress made just for you and up to $200 off it. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, so, meanwhile, the United States' plan to get people out continues to be not much. According to Jackie Heinrich, who is writing for Fox News, she's the White House correspondent, she says that sources have told her the State Department is looking for non-military ways to stage and move Americans and others in Kabul as an alternative to military forces being deployed into Kabul for rescues. So I guess we're going to, you know, just send randos into Kabul to try and bring Americans through the gauntlet that has now been created by the Taliban around the Kabul airport. The State Department did not dispute this information. They said, quote, "Our first priority is the safety and security of the American people. We will continue to uphold that commitment." Oh, will you? The State Department, above all of the other departments, is the one to blame. The State Department is a disaster area. Meanwhile, John Kirby over at the Pentagon, he's the spokesperson. He was asked, you know, you keep saying that we're trying to get our people out, and yet we have not deployed any military patrols to go pick up Americans who are stranded in Kabul. Why is it that the Brits and the French can do it, but we cannot?
If the British can take their paratroopers and they can get in vehicles and go get their people and get them to the airport, why can't the U.S. do that? If there is a deal with the Taliban to provide safe passage, why is it left to the Americans outside of that ring to get there on their own? Why can't we send vehicles to go get them?
We have not seen any great impediments to the safe passage that the Taliban have agreed to facilitate. Americans are getting through those checkpoints, and they are getting onto the base on the airfield, and they are being flown out of Kabul.
Okay, that is not exactly what we are hearing from on the ground. What we are hearing that certainly the Afghans are stuck in Kabul, but many Americans are not willing to run the gauntlet because they're afraid of walking outside their front door. And the Taliban's mercy lasts as long as the Taliban's mercy lasts. I mean, let's face what's going on here. The reality is when we say we're negotiating with the Taliban, what we mean by that is we're bribing them. This is going to come out over the next 6 months, I promise you, that the United States is sending pallets of cash to the world's worst human beings because Joe Biden couldn't keep it in his pants when it came to withdrawing from Afghanistan. I mean, that really is what's going on here. According to Defense One, evacuation operations at Hamid Karzai International Airport are starting to normalize, but with the stark reality that U.S. movements, including any troop extension past August 31st, now must be negotiated with the Taliban, the Pentagon acknowledged on Thursday. John Kirby said, quote, "I think it's a fundamental fact of reality of where we are, that communications and a certain measure of agreement with the Taliban on what we're trying to accomplish has to occur. About 7,000 people, a mix of Americans, Afghans, and other foreign nationals, have left Kabul on U.S. military aircraft since non-combatant evacuation operations began last week. The U.S. has flown about 12,000 people out of Afghanistan since July. However, we've still got thousands and thousands of Americans who are still stuck in Kabul and tens of thousands of Afghan allies who are stuck in Kabul. At a State Department press conference Thursday, spokesman Ned Price acknowledged processing has been slow but was improving. He says there are 6,000 people at the airport right now who have been fully processed by our consular team and will soon board planes. In the meantime, however, there are planes that are leaving literally half empty. 20 planes were expected to depart overnight on Thursday. State will double the number of consular officers on the ground by Friday, says Ned Price. We'll have the capacity we need to process as many individuals as we can fill the flights. The evacuation has more of a rhythm in the last 24 hours, he said. For example, U.S. troops have opened and manned more gates at the airport, allowing faster processes of evacuees. And the crowds that swarmed the tarmacs have been pushed out, but there are currently more airplane seats than there are passengers, which means that the processing is not going all that well. The U.S. would like to move between 5,000 and 9,000 people per day. Over the last 24 hours, they flew out 2,000, said Taylor. There are at least 15,000 Americans still in Kabul and more than 70,000 Afghans who worked with the U.S. government and their families. All of those people are going to be stopped, by the way. Even U.S. citizens may hesitate to move from their homes, according to Defense One. The U.S. government said Wednesday it cannot guarantee their safe passage. Price said, every report of someone unable, for whatever reason, to reach the airport is something we take seriously. We're doing everything we can, mechanically, logistically, but then, of course, there's also the diplomatic element of this as well. So, in other words, no, Americans are still stuck there, and this process is not, in fact, going particularly smoothly. Meanwhile, there was this debacle over the last 24 hours where the United States State Department apparently was selling flights. I'm not kidding you. They were selling flights for essentially $2,000. According to Politico, even though U.S. officials tell NatSec Daily and others that evacuation flights from Kabul will be free, people trying to catch a plane in the Afghan capital say differently. One person said State Department staff were seeking large payments, up to $2,000, from American passengers, and even more from non-U.S. citizens. When we relayed what this person told us to the State Department, a spokesperson didn't deny this is happening. The spokesperson said, U.S. law requires evacuation assistance to private U.S. citizens or third country nationals be provided on a reimbursable basis to the maximum extent practicable. The situation is extremely fluid. We're working to overcome obstacles as they rise. So now they're trying to walk this back. They're saying, no, now we're going to make the flights free. But it took the press discovering that they were trying to charge people trying to escape Afghanistan $2,000 in order to leave for that to become an issue. Alrighty, coming up, the Afghanistan pullout has some pretty significant international ramifications, and it really does undercut our ability to fight terrorism in Afghanistan. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Mojo would swallow things whole, a chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing a bit of hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Tracy Morgan for the American Rescue Plan.
People often look at me and think I'm a fireman. So when they came to me and said, Chief, tell them about the American Rescue Plan. I jumped down a fire pole and I got to work. Ma'am, do you have any kids at home?
Oh, yes, I do, handsome fireman.
Let's keep this professional. But what if I could put out some of your financial fires? Up to $300 per month per child, it could rescue you.
Claim your money at MyRescuePlan.org. That's MyRescuePlan.org.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So what is happening in Afghanistan has pretty significant external consequences. All right. So this all has international implications as well. Apparently, the United States asked, we're not at the point where we're just asking our enemies for help. And they're all like, here's the latest on that. According to the Wall Street Journal, Russian President Vladimir Putin, during a June 16th summit meeting with President Biden, objected to any role for American forces in Central Asian countries at all, senior U.S. and Russian officials said, undercutting the U.S. military's efforts to act against new terrorist dangers after its Afghanistan withdrawal. Remember, Joe Biden said that we would still be able to carry out the over-the-horizon missions we needed to. We'd have air bases. We'd be able to still monitor terrorist traffic in Afghanistan. No, we won't. I mean, end of story. No, we don't have any resources on the ground. We have no bases in country, and we have no bases anywhere nearby. Pakistan cut a deal with the Taliban to kick us out. and Russia is denying us the ability to build any bases or have a base anywhere nearby. The previously unreported exchange between the U.S. and Russian leaders has complicated the U.S. military's options for basing drones and other counterterrorism forces in countries bordering landlocked Afghanistan. That challenge has deepened with the collapse over the weekend of the Afghan government and armed forces. The exchange also indicates Moscow is more determined to try to maintain Central Asia as a sphere of influence than to expand cooperation with the new American president over the turmoil in Afghanistan, former and current U.S. officials said. No bleep. There's a shock. You mean the Russians aren't interested in helping us? Who could have foreseen this cataclysmic event? Who could have foreseen that the Russians and the Chinese and the Taliban might not be all that helpful to us in fighting terrorism? Without access to Central Asian nations like Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, or Tajikistan, the U.S. would need to rely on bases in Qatar, other Arab Gulf states, and U.S. Navy aircraft carriers in the Indian Ocean to fly aircraft to Afghanistan. Flight times from the Gulf states are so long, a U.S. drone might spend more than 60% of its mission flying to and from Afghanistan from a U.S. base in Qatar. That would limit the time for conducting reconnaissance or carrying out strikes over the country, because the drones basically run out of fuel. So this is all going really, really, really well. The good news is that Joe Biden is enamored with it. He was told in advance by pretty much everyone that this was the world's worst decision. He was told by his DOD that he needed to leave some skeletal troops there at least until the evacuation was complete. He was told by his State Department this was a mistake. He was told by everyone this was a bad idea. But bad ideas have never stopped Joe Biden before. That's kind of amusing. When Donald Trump was president, there was all this talk about how, you know, Trump isn't really running his administration. The people around him are running his administration. And in reality, many of the people around Trump were constant checks on his bad ideas. And very often, Trump would have a bad idea, militarily speaking. Like, what if we precipitously pulled out from Syria? And James Mattis would step in and go, you know, Mr. President, you can't do that. It's a bad idea. And Trump would go, okay, fine. And then he would listen. Joe Biden listens to no one. And so his advisors have just gone along with the worst foreign policy decision in my lifetime. They just went right along with it and enabled it. After advising him, it was a terrible idea. There was no internal bucking. There were no leaks to the press. There was no talk in advance about how this was going to go. They just went along with it. They let the addled old man figure out what the policy would be, a policy that he had locked in from 2010 and on, even though the war in Afghanistan has radically shifted since 2010, given the fact that we radically downscaled our troop commitment in Afghanistan post-2014. The United States has not had more than 12,000-13,000 troops in the country at any time since 2014. And at the time that we left, we had 2,500 troops officially in country to provide, again, a base from which to fight terrorism. But Joe Biden, at least, he has sort of these moments of refreshing honesty because every so often it breaks through. And Joe Biden did this interview with George Stephanopoulos in which he freely admits that whether, like, he first tried to blame this on Trump, you'll recall. Remember, he said this is, Trump had cut this really bad deal in Doha, Qatar with the Taliban, and we had to abide by that deal. And now Joe Biden's like, yeah, whether or not that deal was made, I was going to do it, which is the actual truth.
Would you have withdrawn troops like this even if President Trump had not made that deal with the Taliban?
I would have tried to figure out how to withdraw those troops, yes. Because look, George, there is no good time to leave Afghanistan. 15 years ago would have been a problem. 15 years from now. The basic choice is, am I going to send your sons and your daughters to war in Afghanistan? In Afghanistan, in perpetuity.
Okay, so when he says there's no good time to leave Afghanistan, the answer to that is right, which is probably why we should have left some skeleton troops there at a minimum. But he was committed to this. He's committed to this. By the way, there's news breaking this morning that the situation in Afghanistan is getting worse. According to Sasha Ingber, who's a national security reporter for Newsy, previously at NPR and National Geographic, a source says situation in Afghanistan is rapidly deteriorating. We've had Americans get beaten throughout the night. One of them, an American woman, was beaten twice, even though she was carrying a U.S. passport. There are reports of sheer chaos breaking out again in Afghanistan. For all the talk about how this thing is starting to lock down, it continues to be chaos at the airport in Afghanistan. It's a disaster area. And yes, Joe Biden was warned about this. Yes, Joe Biden was warned about it. Of course he was. Now, Joe Biden lied about that. Right? He went on Stephanopoulos and in the course of about 30 seconds said he wasn't warned about it. And then realized that that was going to be outed as a lie. And then he went to the I don't recall defense, right? The I don't recall defense in politics is what you do. It's the lawyerly way of avoiding any sort of actual blame. Here's Joe Biden going from I was never told to I don't recall in the space of about 30 seconds.
Your top military advisors warned against withdrawing on this timeline. They wanted you to keep about 2,500 troops.
No, they didn't. It was split. That wasn't true.
That wasn't true.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame, all troops. They didn't argue against that.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No one said that to me that I can recall.
No, okay, and you can tell he's lying right there. Right? He realizes he's trapped himself and that he's lying. In fact, we know for a fact that he was informed by many of his advisors that this was a terrible idea. This has been widely reported. In fact, back in April, Jen Psaki confirmed that some advisors were telling Biden to leave troops. Right? This is publicly.
Can you explain the rationale for why President Biden went against the advice of military commanders who recommended leaving 2,500 troops on the ground in Afghanistan?
Well, I think that's an overcharacterization of every military leader, and I don't think they've all provided their point of view. No military commander wants to stay forever. They insist that this is not, some insist this is not in time, the time to leave, some opponents of his decision.
We now have reports from the Wall Street Journal, from the New York Times, from pretty much every major media publication saying that Joe Biden was told by everyone, up to and including, by the way, Lloyd Austin, his Secretary of Defense, as well as the wonderful Mark Milley, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was told by everyone this was a bad idea. And he went ahead and he did it anyway. Because he's a stubborn old coot. And he has decided that his bad foreign policy ideas need to be, as Barack Obama once said about Joe Biden, don't underestimate Joe's ability to screw things up. Alrighty, coming up. We have heard from the Biden administration. They didn't know that Kabul was going to fall. It couldn't have gone. Well, actually, we now have a report that the State Department knew. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR 1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Destruction.
Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
689.
Tracy Morgan for the American Rescue Plan.
People often look at me and think I'm a fireman. So when they came to me and said, Chief, tell them about the American Rescue Plan. I jumped down a fire pole
and I got to work.
Ma'am, do you have any kids at home?
Oh, yes, I do, handsome fireman.
Let's keep this professional. But what if I could put out some of your financial fires? Up to $300 per month per child, it could rescue you.
Claim your money at MyRescuePlan.org. That's MyRescuePlan.org.
Furnished by Common Sense Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is pretty clear at this point that the Biden administration is lying to you. The big story of the day, aside from the fact that the situation in Afghanistan continues to be just an utter, complete disaster area, Richard Engel reporting this morning, quote, what was supposed to be an organized evacuation of foreigners and Afghans who worked with U.S. NATO is rapidly becoming a chaotic humanitarian airlift. And just complete chaos breaking out over there. There's an internal State Department cable that warned that Kabul would collapse in July. According to the Wall Street Journal, an internal State Department memo last month warned top agency officials of the potential collapse of Kabul soon after the U.S.'s August 31st troop withdrawal deadline in Afghanistan, according to a U.S. official and a person familiar with the document. The classified cable represents the clearest evidence yet that the administration had been warned by its own officials on the ground that the Taliban's advance was imminent and Afghanistan's military may be unable to stop it. The cable was sent via the State Department's confidential dissent channel and warned of rapid territorial gains by the Taliban and the subsequent collapse of Afghan security forces and offered recommendations on ways to mitigate the crisis and speed up evacuation. The cable was dated July 13th. July 13th. Now, the reason I mentioned the significance of that date is because 5 days earlier, Joe Biden had gone on national television and assured the American people the Taliban would not take over the country and this would not look like Saigon. 5 days earlier. As of last weekend, some 18,000 Afghans who applied for the U.S.'s special immigrant visa program, as well as their families, remained on the ground in Afghanistan. In all, 23 U.S. Embassy staffers, all Americans, signed the July 13th cable. The U.S. official said there was a rush to deliver it, given circumstances on the ground. The cable was sent to our wonderful Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and the Director of Policy Planning, Salman Ahmed. Blinken received the cable and reviewed it, according to people familiar with the exchange, who added that contingency planning was already underway when it was received, and that Blinken welcomed their feedback. State Department spokesman Ned Price declined to address the cable, but told the Wall Street Journal, Blinken reads every dissent and reviews every reply. The existence of the confidential State Department cable adds to an expanding debate involving the White House, Pentagon, and intelligence services over what U.S. officials understood about assessments of Afghanistan's stability. Again, it is very clear at this point that Biden was warned 8 ways from Sunday. It is very obvious to anyone who is watching that this was a disaster area unfolding. And Biden couldn't care less. He couldn't care less. It is incredible how this giant glowing sun of empathy, President Biden has no empathy whatsoever for what's going on the ground over in Afghanistan, for the Americans who are stuck there, for the Afghans who are stuck there, for anybody. Because he wanted to do the things that he wanted to do, and his umbrage begins when you start asking him tough questions. This has been true, by the way, throughout his career. There was always this picture of Biden that he was a wonderful, warm guy. anytime he was asked a tough question by literally anyone throughout his campaign, he turned into the look fat guy. You remember that? There was a guy, a Bernie Sanders supporter, who asked him a tough question, and he started insulting him as fat. I mean, that's who Joe Biden is. So in this interview with George Stephanopoulos, he was just fully delusional and in umbrage mode. So at one point, by the way, he mentioned that he said, we don't have any troops in Syria, which is weird since we have 900 troops in Syria. But I mean, the man can be forgiven that since he doesn't remember what he had for breakfast this morning. But more than that, he then did this. This is an amazing clip. Joe Biden told George Stephanopoulos, nobody's being killed at the Kabul airport right now. He said, everything's fine over there.
Still a lot of pandemonium outside the airport.
Well, there is, but look, but no one's being killed right now. God forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now.
No one's being killed, and then he knocks on wood. He knocks on wood. You're the president of the United States. He's knocking on wood that no one's been, you know, could ensure that no one gets killed over there if you hadn't abandoned the country without any plan whatsoever. That would ensure that nobody got killed. Or if you said to the Taliban, listen, you let all of our guys in, or American air power is going to start going after you. Now, it may be all fun and games for the moment, but just remember, we still have the most powerful air force on planet Earth. So you let all of our people through right now, or the bombs start falling on the heads of your soldiers. But he's not doing any of that. And by the way, he's wrong. When he says that people aren't being killed at knock on wood, here is CNN yesterday.
Since the Taliban seized Kabul on Sunday, 12 people have been killed. That according to the Reuters news agency. Taliban fighters toting machine guns and a soundtrack of gunfire are fueling this unease and anxiety among Afghans. Look here, a CNN photographer capturing these images. Huddled masses outside Kabul airport's east gate. Rows and rows of men, women, and children clustered together, waiting on a way out that for some may never materialize.
And by the way, a lot of people are pointing out people who don't want to take in some of these Afghan refugees. Again, if you're a translator with the American Armed Services, and you have American soldiers who are vouching for you, it seems to me that your case to be brought into the United States as a refugee is pretty good. But in any case, if you're talking about this, a lot of people have been saying, look at how many men there are in these photos. Right, because those are the ones who worked as the translators. There weren't a lot of women who were working as translators for the American Armed Services in Afghanistan. In any case, Biden's just lying. When he says nobody's been killed, no, a lot of, I mean, people fell from airplanes, dude, on tape. But remember, Captain Empathy over here, he's never been empathetic toward this sort of stuff. I mean, if you go all the way back, like to the actual fall of Saigon, you'll remember that Joe Biden actually said by the actual fall of Saigon that the United States had no obligation to evacuate a single member of South Vietnam, like not a single person. Right? We had abandoned them to their fate. Hundreds of thousands of people got into boats to float off the coast of Vietnam to escape the onrushing communist hordes. And Joe Biden said this, quote, I do not believe the United States has an obligation, moral or otherwise, to evacuate foreign nationals. Other than perhaps an estimated 1,800 diplomatic personnel assigned to foreign embassies in Saigon, the United States has no obligation to evacuate one or 100,001 South Vietnamese. As I read the language of the bill, the evacuation of Americans in South Vietnam conceivably could be endangered because of the provisions also permitting the evacuation of untold numbers of foreign nationals. So this goes back 40 years for this jackass. I mean, it's amazing. It goes back almost half a century. Joe Biden's complete lack of care about people are being victimized by the regimes that Democrats have empowered. It's pretty incredible. Meanwhile, by the way, forget about the Afghan nationals for a second. The Americans are still stuck there. Now, the State Department has been trying to downplay that. There was Ned Price yesterday saying that the Americans being blocked from the airport, they're a small number. It's just congestion. It's not chaos. This is contrary to every report we were receiving from on the ground.
We have a relatively large cadre of consular officers on the ground in Kabul right now. They are in regular and constant contact with American citizens. I can tell you that they have received, as of a couple hours ago, a small handful of reports from American citizens who weren't able to reach the airport for whatever reason. We've seen the reports of congestion. My understanding is that things are moving quite efficiently at this hour at the airport now.
Oh, really? Things are moving well now? Clarissa Ward, reporting for CNN, says, quote, this is one of the most harrowing things I've experienced. What is she talking about? The scene at the Kabul airport. According to the Washington Post, a chaotic and dangerous dynamic at Kabul's airport showed few signs of relenting Thursday as thousands of people attempting to board flights faced beatings by Taliban guards, the crush of heaving crowds, and interminable spells in the dust and heat while waiting to escape Afghanistan. Several people said Thursday they'd received confusing signals from the U.S. about how exactly they were supposed to leave, citing emails from the State Department urging them to go to the airport, only to find there was no one to receive them or to answer their questions on how to board flights. We arrived at 6 a.m., said a 39-year-old librarian, a dual U.S.-Afghan citizen who came with his wife and two kids after receiving an email invitation from the State Department. From 6 a.m. until 6 p.m., the gate did not open. There is no person to address our concerns. And now, we are learning that the Taliban is targeting journalists who report on the chaos. The German broadcaster Deutsche Welle said a close relative of one of its journalists had been murdered by Taliban fighters. The relative was shot as militants went house to house searching for the journalist in western Afghanistan, according to the news organization. And, Clarissa Ward and her crew are now inside the airport. But she's saying that, again, inside the airport, it is not a lot better than it is outside the airport. The Pentagon spokesperson, by the way, Ned Price, he can't even say how many Americans are even in Afghanistan at this point.
How many American citizens remain in Afghanistan?
I don't know. The State Department would be a better place to go for an estimate of how many Americans are in Afghanistan or in and around Kabul. That is not a figure that the United States military would know, and I think, as you also know, not every American citizen in another country, there's no obligation that they register their presence, and that you can have a perfect, accurate count.
Okay, in order to make anybody believe that the Biden administration has any level of control, the Biden administration has now been put in the position of becoming the PR wing for the Taliban. This is not a surprise. You saw that the Obama administration did the exact same thing with Iran. Obama came into office wanting Iran to be established as a sort of regional power for no reason at all. Because, again, he had perverse foreign policy ideas that made no sense in the real world. And so what this meant is he wanted to cut a deal with the Taliban, with the Iranians. So he lied to the American people. And so did Ben Rhodes, his national security advisor. They just lied. They went out there and they said that there was a moderate wing of the Iranians, and we were emboldening the moderate wing of the Iranian government. And then we spent years defending the Iranian government. Oh, really, they're moderate. Oh, really, they're moderating. Oh, really, they're getting better. Oh, you know, they're really not so bad. Is there anything really to worry about? I mean, they're going to get better, guys. I mean, they want to be legitimate players on the world stage. We became the PR wing for the Iranian mullahs, even as they fostered terrorism around the region, even as they murdered tens of thousands of people in places like Syria and Lebanon and Yemen, even as they funded Hamas. Right? It was the United States and Barack Obama's administration who were soft-pedaling the evils of the Iranian regime. Now we're doing the exact same thing with the Taliban. Because you see, in order to make Americans believe everything is going to be okay in Afghanistan, we have to believe that the Taliban are a different sort of Taliban. Maybe they're changing their stripes. You know, no guarantees. But maybe they're going to be better this time around. Now, is there any evidence whatsoever, like at all, that they're better this time around? They're literally just shooting people. They're going around and hunting journalists. They pledged the same thing in 96 when they first took over Afghanistan that they have now, which is pardon for everybody. And then by pardon, they mean you will be dead. I mean, that's basically what they mean. But you've now turned the White House of the United States into a PR wing for the worst people on earth, the same way that Obama did with the Iranians. So here, for example, is the president of the United States, Joe Biden, saying, you know, the Taliban, they're probably going through some sort of existential crisis right now. You know, they have to decide whether they want to be part of the international community. Here's the thing. They've already decided. The answer is no. And they are not going through an existential crisis. The West is going through an existential crisis because the West has no idea what it believes. The West doesn't know what it stands for, aside from the evils of supposed inherent white supremacy embedded in all of our institutions and transgenderism. The West has basically very few principles to which it is certainly committed at this point. We don't know what we stand for. We don't know why we stand for the things we stand for. We are going through an existential crisis. The Taliban are going through a victory dance because a bunch of regressive, barbaric cavemen from the 8th century just defeated the most powerful military in the history of the world. By the way, for the second time, right, because they did this to the Soviets in the 80s. So now they're proclaiming victory on the exact same thing, even though really the two instances shouldn't be comparable. The United States was holding the line in Afghanistan with 2,500 troops. The difference is the Taliban have a 1,000-year time horizon, and we have about a 20-year time horizon in the United States. We get bored after 20 years, and we're like, oh, well, this is an endless war. You know what an endless war means to the Taliban? You know what an endless war means to the people in Afghanistan? Afghanistan has essentially been in a state of war since at least 1979. So an endless war to them does not look like an endless war to us. And so they can declare victory after having their asses kicked all over the map for 20 years because they outlasted us. Okay, but in any case, Joe Biden has now become the PR wing for the Taliban. This is what he has to do now.
I think they're going through sort of an existential crisis about, do they want to be recognized by the international community as being a legitimate government? I'm not sure they do. But look,
they care about their beliefs more.
Well, they do. But they also care about whether they have food to eat. whether they have an income that can make any money and run an economy. They care about whether or not they can hold together the society that they, in fact, say they care so much about.
What an absolute joke. The president of the United States. There he is. They want legitimacy. And the same way the Hamas wants legitimacy, guys. It's all these terrorist groups. They just want legitimacy. The president of the United States is now running cover for the Taliban. That's the only thing you can take away from that clip. I'm not sure that they want legitimacy. But, you know, they do want to make sure that they can run the economy. They want to make sure. I mean, wouldn't they want to be welcomed into the family of nations? By the way, it's this exact same sort of arrogance that led to a lot of the nation-building project in the first place. They're just like us, guys. They want to make sure that their country still runs. They have the same priorities we do. John Kirby at the Pentagon was specifically asked whether the Biden administration considers the Taliban an enemy. Now, this should have a pretty obvious answer. The answer is yes. The Taliban are the worst people on the planet. The Taliban are responsible for thousands of American deaths. The Taliban are going around murdering our allies. Yes, they are our enemy. They've continued to be our enemy. But because Joe Biden just surrendered to them, he now has to say that it's not a surrender by pretending they're not our enemy. So that's what John Kirby does here. He just avoids the question as to whether the Taliban are our enemy.
Does the U.S. military consider the Taliban an enemy?
We're our focus right now. The thing we're working against right now is time and space, and we want to get as many people out of Kabul as we can in as little amount of time as we can.
That is called a not answer at all. The question was, are the Taliban our enemy? And the answer was, we're trying to get Americans out. So I guess we're the PR wing for the Taliban now. That's exciting. In a second, we'll get to what Joe Biden's calculus here is, because it's pretty obvious what his calculus is, why he's doing all of this and what his angle here is. Because you look at this and I look at this and we say this is the worst foreign policy disaster of the last 40 years, at least since the fall of Iran in 79. I'm hard pressed to think of a worse foreign policy. The end of Vietnam was not even as much of a foreign policy disaster as this is. But Joe Biden has a plan. We'll get to the actual plan in one second. First, let's be real about this. You're an adult. You need life insurance. It is that simple. Let's say that you are walking down the street and suddenly a brick just falls from the 15th story and clocks you directly on the head. Well, you're gone, but your family is going to be missing both you and your stream of income. This is why you need life insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? It could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. Eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week, thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam for a simple phone call. The exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Get started really quickly and easily today. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com to get started. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice and quite important to get it right. Alrighty, coming up, what exactly is Joe Biden's strategy here, considering what a disaster this is? He just thinks you're going to forget about it, the same way that he forgets about things all the time. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Our chap's coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat carrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE .com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE .com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is apparently of the opinion that you are just going to forget about everything going on in the world. According to Reuters, Biden basically thinks he's going to wait it out. Reuters says President Joe Biden is brushing off criticism of his administration's chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal because he and his aides believe the political fallout at home will be limited, according to White House allies and administration officials. That, of course, is not a giant shock, considering that he said 10 years ago that F that with regard to whether there would be consequences for withdrawal. Nixon and Kissinger got away with it, which is an amazing thing considering that neither Nixon nor Kissinger were actually responsible for the Vietnam withdrawal. Right? Gerald Ford was president at the time. Nixon had been gone for a while, and it was the Democratic Congress that actually caused the Vietnam withdrawal in the first place. But the idea here is that he's just going to be able to outlive this. Joe Biden will just outlive this, right? We'll all forget about it. We'll all move on. I am not nearly so sanguine, particularly since it seems like this administration is still trying to figure out whether or not they're going to leave people behind. Brianna Keeler over at CNN, she actually asked directly the White House communications director. This would be Kate Bedingfield. She asked her directly, are you prepared to leave people behind in Afghanistan? And Kate Bedingfield said, we're doing everything we can to get as many people out who want to get out before the August 31st deadline. Who set that deadline? Like, that's the Taliban setting that deadline, right? I have a feeling that if you leave a bunch of Americans there, Kate and Joe, I have a feeling that people are going to be kind of pissed if you leave thousands of Americans in Kabul because you're so stupid that you left them in the hands of the Taliban. Meanwhile, the British and the French somehow are sending their paratroopers in to get people out. I have a feeling Americans might not take particularly kindly to all of that. One of the things that has fascinated me about the situation in Afghanistan right now is the media coverage thereof. Because the media coverage has been really good, like really accurate, quite good, hypercritical of President Biden, everywhere from like the European press to the American press. And it got me wondering why. Why are the media, and this is literally the first time in my lifetime, that a Democrat has done something egregious and the media have been all over it. The media never do this. This is the first time I've ever seen, I think in my entire adult lifetime, where Democrats do something so egregious that even the media are forced to look at it and go, this is horrifying. And it really is across the spectrum. There are very few media defenders of the Biden administration at this point. CNN's Clarissa Ward has been doing excellent work on the ground at CNN. She, of course, is incredibly brave. She's been on the ground in Kabul dealing with all of this. And she is leading the charge here.
The lack of clear information. The rumor mill is in overdrive. There's hysteria. You have Taliban fighters with whips, with guns. You have U.S. and U.K. soldiers who are not allowing people in. You have mixed messaging coming through about what kind of paperwork you need and how you can get on a flight and where you can go. I mean, it is just an absolute mess. And we heard President Biden say yesterday in his comments to ABC News that this is not a failure. And I think a lot of people outside that airport, particularly those taking the kinds of extreme actions we're just talking about, would like to know if this isn't failure, What does failure look like exactly?
Okay, and you're hearing the same thing from Jake Tapper over at CNN. You're hearing the same thing from MSNBC's Kelly O'Donnell, who says Biden's pretty obviously ducking the press at this point, which he pretty clearly is.
Does the White House have a good explanation? So if the president now says chaos was inevitable, then are they acknowledging that he misled us? So was that mislead a month ago on purpose because they didn't want to offend the Afghan government?
Well, they're not acknowledging that discrepancy yet. We've had no opportunity, no briefing, no ability to get a real sense of that. What they are saying is that they had planned for and expected that there could be a fall, but the timing has been what they've been focused on, that it wouldn't be as precipitous as we have seen happen.
Yeah, everybody acknowledging this is a mess. The New York Times' Jonathan Martin, he says, yeah, it's pretty clear that the Biden administration is lying to us.
You have the president talking about chaos being inevitable. Sure, the chaos was inevitable if you're talking about a Taliban takeover of Kabul, if you're talking about a dangerous situation and just the crumbling of humanitarian and human rights. But it was not expected to be chaos when you're talking about evacuating embassy staff at the very last minute, evacuating and trying to figure out what to do with the Afghan staffers at the very last minute. That was not predicted, and that should have been handled differently.
But he said the opposite the previous month. And right. I think that's the big challenge for him politically, is that he has a paper trail of statements, literally, as Joe Biden would say, saying the opposite than, in fact, what happened. And I think there's no willingness on his part to acknowledge his previous statements here and sort of eat that.
My first time in my adult lifetime that the media are actually covering this stuff accurately. The first time. And, you know, it does raise the question as to why. I think there are a couple of answers. The first answer is that the media actually thought Afghanistan was the good war. Many of them were embedded with American troops. Many of them got to know Afghans on the ground. And now they're realizing that they've been lied to by Joe Biden. And I think they're insulted by that. And they should be insulted by that. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Taliban websites that delivered terrorist official messages in five languages have abruptly gone offline. It's also been reported the encrypted messaging service WhatsApp removed a number of Taliban groups. That follows the earlier banning this week of Taliban accounts by Facebook. Military affairs analyst Robert McGinnis says the United States did not follow normal procedures in the Afghan pullout.
Doctrinally, we would always extricate civilians and then embassy staff and then, of course, much of our equipment. And the last would be the people with weapons, the army personnel, Marines, and so forth. That's precisely what did not happen.
Also at townhall.com, authorities seizing more than 3,000 fake COVID-19 vaccination cards at the airport in Anchorage, Alaska.
The agency said in a statement that the cards, which shipped from China, are made of low-quality printing and closely resemble the authentic Centers for Disease Control certificates. Lance Robinson, Area Port Director of the Area Port of Anchorage, said in a statement, "Getting these fraudulent cards off the streets and out of the hands of those who would sell them is important for the safety of the American people." CBP spokesperson Jamie Ruiz says the cards seized over the past week arrived in small shipments, between 135 and 150 total packages, with about 20 to 25 cards per package. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Well, San Francisco has become the first major city in the nation to require proof of full vaccination against the coronavirus, that for people who dine in restaurants, work out in gyms, or attend indoor concerts. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hounds and hounds of fur. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she's 10 years old. She has dandruff and an oily coat.
I have two cats, Sweetie and Daisy. Daisy sheds like crazy.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them to live long, healthy, happy lives.
DinoVite.com.
I just tried this wonderful Catalicious Dynavite for cats, and my cat has been on it for 2 weeks. She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore. It is just the best.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog. To introduce my cats to Dynavite. I took the advice from Dynavite and put their food on top of just a scoop in the bowl, just to get them used to it, because I know if I even switch one little thing, they put their nose up to it. There was not one problem.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
National Weather Service warning residents in North Carolina to be ready for Tropical Storm Henri, which is expected to gain strength very quickly and then change status. Meteorologist Stephen Pfaff.
During the day on Sunday, this hurricane, forecast to become a hurricane with time. Less shear, more opportunity to strengthen a hurricane pretty close to the Rhode Island, Connecticut, up into Massachusetts.
National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham says this storm will be a soaker.
On Sunday, the system slows down, and that could prolong the rainfall, increase the chance for flooding, and definitely an impact to the wind. Down trees, power lines, so there's some significant impacts associated with this system.
President Biden's administration sticking by former President Trump's decision to lift protections for gray wolves across most of the U.S. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Mortgage rates mixed this week.
The rates barely changed after rising for the first time last week following 6 weeks of declines. Average rates for home loans remain historically low. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reports the average for the 30-year mortgage eased to 2.86 from 2.87% last week. The 15-year loan edged up to 2.16 from 2.15% last week. Uncertainty over the fast-spreading Delta variant and its potential effect on the economic recovery had been a backdrop in suppressing mortgage rates. John Scott reporting.
On Wall Street this week, Dow Industrials Friday gaining 226 points, finishing the week at 35,120. NASDAQ climbing 172 points for the day Friday, closing out the session at 14,714. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Dr. C.A. Dingy was a dentist who lived approximately north of Middletown at Fort Dingy, named by him. He was buried in the Middleton Cemetery in a coffin filled with salt, his Bible, and a bottle of whiskey, all at his request. Winter rains brought the salt to the surface, causing deer and cattle to dig for it. To remedy the problem, a load of bricks was placed on top of the grave to protect it. Another interesting dentist was Dr. James Winsell, who settled beside Battle Creek near today's Coleman Fish Hatchery in 1852 on what was the Rancho de Brazgau Mexican land grant. A large ditch carried water out to Battle Creek at his place and transported it to the Balls Ferry flour mill at Balls Ferry, where it was used to turn the large water wheel. The ditch still exists and is used mainly for irrigation. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
It's a much different scene outside the airport where the Taliban is in control. A top State Department official says the Taliban is breaking its promise and blocking Afghans from reaching the airport.
Wait a minute. They're not only hanging people for working with the Americans, they're not only setting women on fire with gasoline, they're not only implementing a radical, extreme form of Sharia law and brutalizing the nation, but they're also not keeping their word. Once again, I guess the best and the brightest couldn't see that coming. Because, you know, the bearded loons, the troglodytes slithering out of cracks in the earth to murder once again. Turns out that they're not men of their word. That whole Western honor and integrity concept, I guess, hasn't reached the troglodyte world. We can always hope that maybe 1,000 years from now or something, 2,000, 3,000 years from now, maybe that will have caught on there. But for now, don't bank on them keeping their word. Who could have seen that coming, honestly? Well, happy Friday to you, and welcome. I wonder if anyone's listening from Afghanistan. Well, they still have electricity. Do they still have electricity? Because I got to tell you, here's something else that's predictable that the Trogs will implement as their power becomes absolute there, thanks to Joe Biden handing the country over to them to create a safe haven for radical Islamic jihadi terrorist organizations from around the world so they can plot against us and other Westerners. And, of course, the Jews. You know, it's and everybody hates the Jews. We haven't played that Tom Lehrer song in quite a while, have we? We may have to get back to that. Extraordinary. Just extraordinary times. And it turned, we've learned a lot since last we convened. First of all, there are headlines today out of Afghanistan that a German citizen trying to make his way to the airport was shot by the Taliban because that's the role that the Taliban plays in the world. You know, that whole recognition from the international community. I was listening to some left-wing media this morning. I have to, you know, cast a wide net given what I do for a living and everything. And boy, they're just so amazing. They truly are. And they really put their faith in the Taliban. And you saw all the media reports that it's ongoing attacking and Republicans and comparing Republicans to the Taliban because apparently some Republicans are religious also. The Democrat Party is a godless gang of communists, I think, and proud of it at this point. But if you go to church on Sunday, then you're a villain. You're like the Taliban, according to mainstream media outlets like the Washington Post and others. The comparison is being made all over the place. Never mind that they're the ones tearing down the statues and tearing down our history and destroying education and the party of Bill Clinton, whose 75th birthday was yesterday. He must have a lump on his head from the big glass ashtray that Hillary Clinton bounced off his cranium, because that's a tradition. It's an annual. She used to do that when he was in the White House, and the Secret Service didn't really know what to do because she was the first lady, but she's assaulting the president, and they're supposed to protect him. It was kind of tough. Kind of tough. But a German shot on his way to the Kabul airport, and that's because the Taliban has a ring of death around the airport. And the Biden State Department, who apparently they don't talk to the Pentagon. The Biden Pentagon doesn't talk to the State Department. The Biden State Department doesn't talk to the Pentagon. Yesterday, Cobble Kirby recommended to a reporter that asked how many Americans are actually in Afghanistan that need to be evacuated. And Cobble Kirby said, gee, I don't know. Maybe you should ask the State Department. And if I had been the reporter in the room, the back and forth would not have ended there. It would have continued from there. I think I would have said something like, wait a minute, I'm a reporter covering the Pentagon, and you, the Pentagon, you don't know, you're evacuating Americans, but you don't know how many are there, and you suggest that I contact the State Department and ask the State Department, and then when they give me a number, should I share it with you so you know over at the Biden Pentagon what the Biden State Department is saying about the number of Americans trapped behind enemy lines? I'm just curious because I'm new to your mysterious ways in the Biden era, and I think maybe reporters are not generally responsible for informing the Pentagon what the State Department knows about the number of Americans behind Taliban lines. Just saying. So a German shot on the way to the Kabul airport amid scramble to escape Taliban, according to a German television, Deutsche Welle. And a German civilian was injured after being shot while traveling to the Kabul airport. Crowds continue to throng outside. They're using throng as a verb. I like that. I admire that, actually. To throng outside, desperate to flee after the Taliban seized control of Afghanistan, thanks to Joe Biden. I actually added the thanks to Joe Biden part to the headline. However, a German was shot, and dozens of Afghan migrants trapped between Poland and Belarus, because where else would they be trapped? And now, see, Germany is sending in their special operations forces and helicopters because they want to get their citizens out. Also, it should be known that the government of France, which is France, has sent in their special operations forces, and they have first-rate special operations forces, France does. And they don't have the best gigantic standing army because they're France. But they have first-rate
special operations forces, and they do have a very good military. You got to make fun of them because they're France. But they have great special operations forces, and they've sent their special operations forces into Afghanistan, into Kabul in particular, in an effort to extract French citizens, because that's the role of a government, and that's the role of a state military, is to protect and defend the citizens of that state, of that country. The British special operations forces have also been deployed to go get British citizens out. And as far as we know, it could be a really well-kept secret, you know, like the idea that Joe Biden's smart or something, which would be a really well-kept secret, because it's not true. But there may be U.S. Special Operations Forces in there getting Americans out, but I don't see any indication of that, and I have no reason to believe that at all. I don't think that's the case. They're just saying, you know, again, like Blazing Saddles, the preacher in Blazing Saddles, son, you're on your own. And that's what the Biden administration has told some number of American citizens trapped behind Taliban lines, thanks to Joe Biden. And shelter in place out of one side of their mouth and make your own way to the airport. Roll the dice. Come on, see, might work out for you. And there are, how many people, you know, Joe Biden told George Stephanopoulos, who's a Democrat political spokesman and has been his entire adult life, that, gosh, he doesn't know. There are people being killed. There are no people being killed outside. There are no people being killed. He doesn't even follow the news. Not only does he not pay attention in classified briefings, but he doesn't follow the news. Speaking of which, it turns out that in, was it June or July, the State Department put out a memo saying that as soon as U.S. troops pull back, Afghanistan will collapse. And now this is known because it's been leaked to the news media, this memo, and that's not really a problem if you're a Democrat, because you're a Democrat and the news media is the, you know, they're the sheriff on the beat and they're corrupt. They're bought and paid for, like organized crime. When you've got corrupt cops working for organized crime, the media plays the role of the corrupt cops working for the party, capital T, capital P. Amazing stuff. He said, no, Ken, no, I don't know. Joe Biden, chaos? I don't know. Nobody saw chaos happening. God, of course there'd be chaos. There's whatever it is. He's also, we've got a great item here. The one of the pieces that George Stephanopoulos and ABC cut out of their interview, the edit room floor, as they call it. And what made it to the edit room floor is truly breathtaking. And another example of why it's so good to be a Democrat, because, boy, it's good to be a Democrat. And also we have now Congressman, former White House doctor Ronnie Jackson, calling for Joe Biden to be removed from office under the 25th Amendment because of mental incompetence. Again, former White House doctor, now member of Congress, Republican, obviously. And it is this is an extraordinary story, and I have the audio for you as well. So also in Britain, they're a little angry because Joe Biden, the headline is Biden reportedly ghosted UK, ignoring Prime Minister Boris Johnson for 36 plus hours amid Afghanistan fallout. Well, why would that be a problem? I played the audio yesterday of a British member of parliament who was raging against the machine, raging against Biden and the United States, and talking about creating military coalitions in Europe that excluded the United States of America. This is Great Britain. And also in, I think it was the Latvian foreign minister talking about how the United States cannot be relied upon going forward. The Chinese are taunting the United States and Taiwan, saying that the United States is not there for you, can't be relied upon because Joe Biden. And at the Washington Post, truly extraordinary stuff. They have these fluffers over there. And David Ignatius types on behalf of the Democratic Party. He's one of the girls from the Steno pool down at the DNC. And his headline today is that because he just loves. And we played the audio. We had the audio. You have that clip of audio of David Ignatius from yesterday where he talked about how Biden's people are so bright and they're so clever and they've never had a bad grade in school. And this has got to be really hard for them. Like Jake Sullivan, the translucent, the National Security Advisor. And that guy, the cadaverous member of the Adams family. But David Ignatius very upset yesterday on Morning Joke because the best and the brightest are having a bad day.
My sense, as I talk to people in the White House, watch these folks on TV, is that they are really shell-shocked. This is a kind of defeat, a level of reversal that these folks have never known in their lives. These are people who've never gotten a bad grade in school, and suddenly they find the world collapsing around them, and I think it's been really, really difficult for them to deal with this.
There are people being hanged in front of their houses in Kabul by the Taliban because they worked for the United States today. That's true. I'm not making this up. This is true. They're going door to door and hanging people. And at the Washington Post and MSNBC, they're concerned about how all of this is affecting Jake Sullivan's psyche. This is actually what's going on. It's pretty extraordinary stuff. The headline for David Ignatius, and then he went back to his typewriter down at the DNC, at the Steno Pool. And the headline this morning is, "The best and brightest never recovered from Vietnam. Will Biden's team fare better?" Well, really the most important thing in the world today is how Biden's inner circle will survive this, how they will manage this. Will Biden's foreign policy team recover from the Afghanistan debacle? This is the Washington Post. This is what they're really concerned about today because, you know, it's all about the party. Party first, party last, party all the time. Party all the time, party all the time. Pretty extraordinary stuff. Just amazing. And he goes on. I've got this other thing because the guy is just such an incredible piece of work. But here is and they're just such suck ups. And he's a shill for the intelligence community and has been an outlet for them forever. Taliban going house to house in Afghanistan, hanging people who worked with the U.S. That's what's going on in Afghanistan today. And at the Washington Post, David Ignatius is really focused on his concern for Jake Sullivan and Joe Biden's inner circle because they want them to do really well. You know, it's important that they do well. And that's what the Washington Post is focused on. Thousands are being massacred, but you can pay no attention to that because the real concern is, you know, these guys who went to Harvard and stuff. Just here's the David Ignatius types today. The reversals in Afghanistan, it's not reversal, are confounding for a Biden national security team that has rarely known personal failure. Colon. They love their colons. Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, went to Yale, Oxford, and Yale Law School. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, attended Harvard and Columbia Law.
Oh, sure. He went to Harvard.
And this is supposed to, first of all, impress me. I've been, what was it that Frank Sinatra said to Billy Idol on Saturday Night Live? You know, these, been dealing with these Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Columbia guys all my adult life in Washington, D.C., and let me just paraphrase Frank Sinatra on Saturday Night Live. I think being played by Joe Piscopo, right? I got chunks of guys like these in my stool. Sorry, I'm quoting Frank Sinatra. It's not my own thing. But these guys are, they're weak, they're feckless, their dads got them into good schools, they're mediocrities, and they've been riding this phony credential carnival ever since. And the Washington Post, David Ignatius, still very impressed because where they went to school when their dads got them in when they were 18 years old. And that's it, the rest of their lives. Oh, he went to Harvard. Very impressed. I'm not that easily impressed. I actually need results. And these are the results of the best and the brightest in Democrat circles. Thanks, Harvard. Thanks, Yale. Thanks, Columbia. Thanks, Oxford.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times. The stock market, all-time highs every day. U.S. debt, never been higher than it is right now. Dollar losing value, and let's not forget about inflation, the highest since 2008. Remember what happened in 2008? So how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, many people, just like you and me, are turning to Old Faithful to protect themselves during these difficult times. Real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group, the kind you can actually hold in your hand or have in your IRA. There's no time better than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-707-GOLD. They'll send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver and answer all of your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-707-GOLD. Oxford is here to protect your savings and retirement. That's 833-707-GOLD.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Angie's List is now Angie. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or you're planning your dream renovation, Angie connects you with top local pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, compare quotes, and book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Limu, Emu, and Doug.
And we're back with Limu, Emu, and Doug for the final question. Category is things you climb.
All right, Limu, what do you think? You sure? We're going with Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Oh, so close. We were looking for stairs.
Huh. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
According to the National Institutes of Health, 30% of hospital admissions in older adults are drug-related, like taking meds at the wrong time. Hero Health simplifies medication management. The smart device stores up to 90 days' worth of up to 10 different pills. It dispenses them at the push of a button. Try Hero risk-free for 30 days and get free contactless delivery. Just call 800-420-7550. That's 800-420-7550. 800-420-7550. Hero. Medication managed.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out. DINOVITE.com. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dynavite. She's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
I just looked up David Ignatius, who's very impressed with Harvard and Oxford. And according to his bio, guess where he went to college? He went to Harvard. And then he went to King's College at Cambridge. See, because, you know, it's a great big circle fest. Old school ties. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Drew, calling from Annandale, Virginia. Drew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey,
I was back in 2010. I was in Afghanistan at the embassy, and there was what was called the Badakhshan massacre. There was about 10 Christian doctors or whatever who set up like an eye and dental clinic up in Badakhshan, which is a northeastern panhandle province of Afghanistan, goes up towards China.
Uh-huh.
Well, they were coming out and they got waylaid by a bunch of these, insurgents, and they don't know if it was the Taliban or the Haqqanis, but they went and they just murdered them all in cold blood because they were Christians. The only reason we even know about it is that they left one of the Afghan drivers go because he was reciting stuff from the Quran, and they go, okay, you can go, but you know, they just murdered all these people, and then we had to get them out by helicopter because they stripped them and left them out there at like 12,000-13,000 feet, and they were killed simply because they were Christians. Now, what do you think is going to be happening? Now, that's when we had almost total control of the country. This is back 2010. We had 140,000 troops in the country. Now we got nothing. What do you think is going to be happening to all the Christians? They're already going around checking their phones, seeing they got Bibles on it and everything. And Tony Schaefer in the previous show pointed out, I go, look, we're just seeing this stuff at the airport because there's a lot of cameras there right now. Okay, nobody's looking at what's happening in the rest of the country. These people are going to hunt down anybody who's not Muslim and do all kinds of awful things to them.
Yeah, you know, you are, you're of course, tragically, 100% correct.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
E-cigs don't burn tobacco leaves, and they come in lots of flavors. That's what tobacco companies tell you. Here are three things tobacco companies don't say. One, many teens don't know their flavored e-cigs have nicotine. Two, nicotine is a poison that can rewire the teen brain. 3. 80% of kids who tried vaping did it because of the flavors. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full-flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Yes, our wonderful and brilliant first caller today, Drew, was talking about the Buttock Shan massacre in 2010. 10 Christian massacred, Christians massacred by the troglodytes, shot to death. And as Drew correctly said, one person was allowed to live because of there were 6 Americans, 2 Afghans, 1 Briton, and 1 German. It's what they do. They're troglodytes. They're murderers. It's the Taliban. Where have you been? And I love all these geniuses and the best and the brightest, the self-congratulatory circle fest that is the Ivy League and the U.S. government / media industrial complex. Got a great text. Should I use the identifier there? Brims from Brimstone. Tell David Ignatius I went to Rhode Island College and saw 2 combat deployments. So David and Jake Sullivan, beep your feelings, bring all Americans home from Afghanistan. So that is great stuff. Did you see that the Democrats yesterday, the Biden White House, they announced that they were going to be charging everyone $2,000 for the flight out of Afghanistan. So Joe Biden destroys the Afghanistan, well, the entire nation, turns it over to the Taliban, pulls the military out first, and then, you know, the American citizens and the people that need to be evacuated are an afterthought. Shelter in place and make your way to the airport through the Taliban gauntlet. That's the advice of the Biden administration. And the story came out yesterday that one person said the State Department staff were seeking large payments, up to $2,000 from American passengers and even more from non-U.S. citizens. When the State Department was asked about it, they didn't deny it. They didn't deny that they were demanding $2,000 payments. These people don't make $2,000 in their lifetime in Afghanistan, in their short, brutal lifetimes. And the Biden people are saying, that'll be $2,000 to you. Because, you know, they're careful custodians of the U.S. taxpayer dollar. In other words, not, you know, setting aside the trillions and trillions that they're plumbing from the taxpayers or just adding to our national debt so they can spread the money around to their allies in the United States. Never mind that. Now, later on, they did deny, after this was reported, finally the State Department came out and said, well, no, we're not charging. So the but not before my friend Seton Motley jumped in. And so, wait a minute, this is classic Biden. It's pay for play, right? And everything with Biden is pay for play. And the Biden family, it's pay for play. And also, he said Joe Biden got into the coyote business. Now he's charging $2,000 a head to smuggle people across national borders. Honestly, this administration is just such a catastrophe. And only 7 months in, and what is it? What is the date today? Today is 7 months. It's January 20th was Inauguration Day. And now it's August 20th, so by that measure, it's been 7 months since Joe Biden became president of the United States, was inaugurated. And, you know, the city was on lockdown for months, and we had a military occupation in Washington, D.C., because, you know, there was one riot that finally the Democrats didn't approve of. After hundreds of riots from coast to coast, billions in damage, thousands of injured police officers, dozens of people murdered, the looting, the arson. Of course, Democrats like Kamala was involved in raising funds for bail money for rioters, right? And they said it was reparations, the Democrats. The looting was reparations because they're racists, you know, and that's a big part of it all, of course. Pretty amazing stuff. And also, speaking, since I just mentioned the biggest riot, the only riot that matters, the Reuters news agency has the headline today, and it's an exclusive to the Reuters news agency. The rest of the media won't report it. FBI finds scant evidence U.S. Capitol attack was coordinated. Well, wait a minute, but it was white supremacists, and it was a big scheme. But now the Reuters news agency on Friday, when Joe Biden is supposed to speak to the nation at 1 o'clock Eastern today, and Kamala is supposed to show her face. It's like Groundhog Day. I guess that means like six more weeks of evacuation now that that Kamala is going to rear her. Can you say rear her ugly head? It's an old turn of phrase. Probably be racist and misogynist and anti-Indian and all that stuff. So the Reuters news agency reporting out of Washington, D.C., the FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election results, according to four current and former law enforcement officials. I'm sure they're all anonymous because everybody's anonymous in Washington, D.C., because it's become a very creepy place with our creepy intelligence community, our creepy FBI, creepy spying on their political enemies, creepy destroying evidence, creepy altering documents, creepy FISA warrants based on Hillary Clinton's opposition research, creepy J. Edgar Comey and penitentiary-faced John Brennan and boy. Though federal officials have arrested more than 570 alleged participants, how many rioters from the hundreds of Democrat riots and the billions in damage and the thousands of injured cops, how many have the FBI hunted down and arrested from those Democrat Party riots? I'd really like an answer to that. I'm not, you know, pretending that we deserve that answer. We do deserve that answer. The FBI at this point believes the violence was not centrally coordinated by far-right groups or prominent supporters of then-President Donald Trump, according to the sources who have been either directly involved in or briefed regularly on the wide-ranging investigations, plural. 90 to 95% of these are one-off cases, said a former senior law enforcement official with knowledge of the investigation. Then you have 5%, maybe, of these militia groups. Sure, I saw lots of militia groups there that were more closely organized. They had taken buses, you know, to Washington. You know who's organized? Antifa across the country. And I want to just pause on this for a second, because when I was talking about the anniversary a couple of weeks ago of the Berlin Wall going up in 1961, the communists in East Germany, who were a Soviet satellite at the time, called it the Berlin Wall. They called this is what they called it. The anti-fascist bulwark. That's what they call the anti, because they were keeping the fascists out, because communists accuse everyone who's not a communist of being fascist. Now, the fascists self-identified as Socialist Worker Party, all right? You know, the Hitler's party was the National German Socialist Worker Party, the National Socialist German Workers Party. I apologize. And so that's another Socialist Workers Party. And the only people that murdered more people than the Nazis are, of course, the Stalinists and the Maoists. But never mind that. You got your Pol Pots and your various other mass murders by the communists. So here it is. Pretty amazing stuff. And now, but there was no grand scheme with Roger Stone and Alex Jones and all of those people to storm the Capitol and take hostages. According to the anonymous, sir, because, you know, you can't reveal your name because the left will destroy you. That's a fascinating story to be breaking today. And the Reuters news agency breaking the story, because nobody else is interested in covering the news, just by the way. Extraordinary stuff. And I've got a lot to cover today, including I got a what in Washington, D.C., they might call an intel dump on what's going on. That is, I got a briefing on what's going on in Qatar, the airbase, Al-Udeid airbase in Qatar, where all of the people being evacuated from Afghanistan are being relocated. And it's not a pretty picture. I want to share that with you. Right now, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Jackie calling from, is it Navarre, Florida, or Navarre?
Navarre. It's Navarre, Florida, Chris.
Thank
and thanks
you.
So much for taking my call.
You bet.
And I survived the Wuhan Red Death, so forgive my voice. I sound like a 70-year-old smoker.
Communism does that to people.
It does, yes. Yeah. Take a look at Psaki. But anyway, so Chris, I'm a Christian. We have contacts in California, churches out there, that are receiving direct emails and texts from people in Afghanistan and in Iraq as well, who are sending text messages like, the Islamist group. They're not even naming that it's a Taliban. It's the Taliban. They're just saying Islamist, radical Islamists going from door to door, doing this intense investigation of people. There are people also reporting to these churches, the people writing these texts and emails are saying, we will not be alive tomorrow when you get this. We won't be alive. Another person also sent that, and I have not seen this on the news at all, but it's saying where families are, every household there that has a girl over the age of 12 must put an X on the door, because if they don't, then the entire family will be executed. I mean, and I haven't heard that reported anywhere else. And I mean, it's not just the Taliban. I mean, these are also being identified as Islamic groups. And my question is, hey, where should Rashida Tlaib? Where is Ilhan Omar? Where is AOC and all of this, if any of you are listening in Washington? Where are you guys? I mean, this is, it's all unbelievable, and many, many people are dying.
Yeah, and as our first caller today, Drew, said, we're seeing a little bit of what's going on in Kabul, but the rest of the country is a black zone. There is no media coverage. There are no cameras. And we're getting very, very limited reports from outside of the airport because, as everybody knows, the news media can't leave the airport. It's too dangerous. And the Biden State Department is telling people, just make your way to the airport. And again, today's headline out of German media, German shot on way to Kabul airport amid scramble to escape Taliban, and shot and wounded a German national. And now the Germans are sending in their special operations forces to start extracting German citizens, because that's what governments with functional leadership would do. That's what governments with a and look, our military, I need to, I guess I was talking about this yesterday. And thank you, Jackie. Is there anything else you wanted to add in there, Jackie, before you get back to your tea kettle?
Sure. Hunter Biden can go ahead and donate some of that $800 a year job, you know, money for, you know, those $2,000 flights they want to charge the State Department wants to charge people for whatever reason. But I can tell you one last thing.
Uh-huh.
Since I've been able to vote, since I was 18, Bill Clinton's first term, I've never voted Democrat, and I am right now. I can't. I'm so disappointed in our government. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone in that, Jackie. Thank you. Thank you very much. The Biden administration's opening bid today, this morning, is that they will resettle 30,000 Afghan refugees in the United States. That's the opening bid. 30,000 doesn't sound like, and honestly, it's not a big number. If these are people that were helping U.S. troops and their families, then I'm entirely in favor of that. These are people whose lives need to be saved from the troglodytes that will, they're about to embark on a genocidal massacre of different groups. And again, I mentioned earlier, the reports out of Kabul today are that the troglodytes, and when Jackie says that they're just saying Islamist groups, Al-Qaeda is running free in Afghanistan now, thanks to Joe Biden, and they will own Afghanistan before long. And honestly, this we're not even close to being over here. There are thousands and thousands of American citizens outside the wire who are being told simultaneously to shelter in place and to make their way to the airport, which is an extremely, extremely dangerous proposition out of a nightmare. I used to have nightmares like this when I was a teenager, making your way through like Taliban-controlled territory or that sort of thing. But this is the real world. This is very real. And the And in Kabul, the headlines today, they're hanging. They're going from door to door and hanging people that worked with the United States of America. Right? Taliban is going house to house in Afghanistan, hanging people who worked with the U.S. That's the headline. Scenes from Kabul as Taliban tightens control. Taliban carrying out door-to-door manhunt. And this is all Joe Biden's doing. Now, Joe Biden is going to allegedly speak to the nation on the subject of Afghanistan and not, you know, like door knockers or whatever else, booster shots. And it's unclear whether he's going to take questions. And Kamala is going to stand dutifully behind him. Have you seen this picture of Kamala, the only picture that surfaced of Kamala next to Joe Biden at the big table? And there's Joe at the head of the big table. And Kamala is grabbing her head and clenching her teeth, just thinking, you know, I should be in the mountains with Willie Brown. What am I doing here? This is, you know, back to your roots. I'm, boy, just extraordinary. What a tragedy this administration is. And you know, it's starting to look like the border, our southern border, with using military bases to pack in non-English speaking people who have, you know, largely illiterate and no skills. You know, it's just they're replicating the U.S. border in Afghanistan. And honestly, if you're there, what are you supposed to do? I mean, I guess you get into a disguise if you can. You try to disguise yourself as a local and try to make your way to the Hamid Karzai International Airport. That's HKIA, you know, as in killed in action. And where are our special operators, who I'm sure would be perfectly happy to go out into that environment and save American lives and take out some bad guys? Because that's what our great and brave people do. As I said, I did get a briefing on what's going on at Al Udeid Airport in Qatar. And it's not pretty. I'm going to share that with you. I've got also a member of Congress calling for Joe Biden to be removed from the presidency by way of the 25th Amendment. A member of the House of Representatives, because of his mental incompetence. The member of Congress also happens to be a doctor. A doctor, a medical doctor, not like Jill Biden, who's a, you know, doctor of mixology or something. She makes a mean cosmopolitan. Shake, shake, shake. But I've got that. And, oh, and the Washington Post pretended to fact check the ABC News interview where Joe sat down with a lifelong Democrat operative, George Stephanopoulos. And wait till you hear what they left out. I have what George Stephanopoulos was left on the cutting room floor. And this video will never be made public because we live basically in a third world country. Leftists run the media and the government. So the corruption is everywhere.
No one's being killed right now. God forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Doug. Check it out, Limu. A roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look! An emu wearing sunglasses!
Limu, you're famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning into Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it to your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news, anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Attention business owners, listen carefully to this important message. Are you tired of struggling with monthly bookkeeping or always being behind? Maybe you're fed up with paying your CPA ridiculously high hourly rates for subpar services. At FinancePal, we know your pain. We're small business owners who understand your tax and accounting needs. At FinancePal, we take over your books and design a program custom tailored to fit your needs. Whether it's bookkeeping, payroll, bill pay, inventory tracking, or taxes, we have you covered. We handle some or all of these services for one flat, affordable, low monthly fee. Stop worrying about your books and drowning in paperwork. Let us worry while you focus on growing your business. The setup is easy, and we give you the tools and technology to make your monthly finances streamlined and organized.
Call now at 800-509-1325 for a free business assessment. That's 800-509-1325. 800-509-1325.
Finance Pal, the only friend your business needs.
paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Korchatsky's coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
It's Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
But the media is circling the wagons because Loserman in the White House is burning the world and NATO and our European allies and everybody else. I have amazing stuff for you coming up, including calls by a member of Congress's medical doctor for Joe Biden to be kicked out of the presidency. Let's go to Mark calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mark, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Actually, it's Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've actually deployed a number of people over to Afghanistan.
I apologize.
That's no problem at all. I just wanted to say, first of all, when you're talking about the beheadings, if I can say one thing before I get to my point. You know, people, we heard so much about how oppressive and racist and how awful America has been over the years.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about beheadings and you're talking about people jumping onto airplanes trying to hold on, that's true oppression. I mean, we heard so long that white supremacy was the greatest threat that America was facing. This, once again, are true threats. I just wanted to make that point, first of all, before I get to my main point. So
well,
I'm
running out of time on you real fast here, I got to say.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing is what scares me with the American citizens left behind is that I'm really terrified if they catch them. I can either see the Iranian hostage situation times 10 coming about, or secondly, an execution where we lose as many lives as we did between Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Only
not out of the question.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.